The Joe Rogan Experience.
Let's do it.
I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Hit it. Hit it, Brian.
All right.
Song is so much better when you're high.
Yeah, I love how it starts off really dirty, gnarly guitar. Yeah.
Fuck, that's a good song.
Blown out.
That's one of those songs that when you smoke a joint and then you listen to it, you really appreciate it. That song just talks to you.
That was pretty sweet. First time I ever heard it.
Yeah. You know, I've been thinking about that lately, about music. I've been listening to music before I go on stage. I didn't used to do that, but I've been doing that lately. And right after I started doing that, I watched this special, this thing with Cat Williams, where he's talking about he has like a whole playlist that he listens to right before he goes out. I'm here with Steve Renazzisi, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello. Hi,
old
everyone.
School Comedy Store veteran.
I know.
Road dog. My friend Steve Renazzisi from back in the 90s, maybe, perhaps. When did I meet you?
No, it was 2001,
something, two?
Yeah, because I moved here in 01, November.
Shazam, son. Old school.
It's a long time.
We got history.
We do.
Renazzisi is a bad motherfucker. You can see him on the FX show, The League, in the second season, I believe.
We're in our second season.
Shazam, son. That's when things get rolling. That's when you got that syndication money coming in. Dog, I see DVD sales in your future.
I would love to.
A lot of people like it, man. A lot of people on my message board were talking about it. I have not had a chance to see it, but I'm going to check it out now.
It's a funny show. It's good, and I'm psyched to be able to, you know.
What's it about?
It's about five guys that grew up together, and they play in this fantasy football league every year. But basically, they just try to humiliate and cast shame upon each other. But it's the guys that do Curb Your Enthusiasm. So there's no script. It's all kind of like, here's what's happening. Three dudes talking. Go.
Oh, that's awesome.
So the first take sucks. You know, it's like a half hour. We're all talking on top of each other.
Right, right.
It's fucking unusable. And then we got to go, oh, but what you said was funny there. And then we just tighten it up.
Wow.
It's fun. It's like that. That's the new shit. That's what everybody's trying to do.
Or that's they're the best trying way to look to do
like
it, right? It.
Because it's like, you're funny. I'm funny. I understand what you wrote down word for word is probably funny because that guy's somewhere along the line was funny. But we're going to come up with funnier shit.
Sometimes,
so just give me the situation and we'll fucking
talk
about
it. Sometimes it's both, right? Sometimes it's just the ad-libbing and sometimes it's the writing.
Yeah.
It's nice to have both. You know, when we did news radio, they let us ad-lib a lot.
They did. But that's good. So they gave you like here's what we think where we want you to go. But if you also think of something funnier, say it.
Yeah, but the way that Curb Your Enthusiasm does it and the way I guess you guys are doing it too, that way is, I think, the best way to watch. Because when you watch it, it seems like it's really happening.
Yeah, we're on an FX and they, you know, we don't have the biggest budget in the world. So it's like literally dudes with cameras on their shoulders. So they're so good that they move with us. So if you're talking and then they'll just move the camera to me and it's really fun to work. I mean, we do long
days
and shit.
What kind of restrictions do you have, like language-wise?
Literally on cable, you can say whatever the fuck you want. It's just, what are people going to be willing to give advertising money to?
Yeah,
so we get away with dicks and fucks. You'll never be on the, like, what they do is they put it on your back. So I'll say fuck, but the camera will be behind me.
Oh, that's interesting.
So they don't really go, oh, who said that? You don't actually see the, you know, the mouth moving. It's just, I don't, I guess that's the fucking line. America would be like, wait, I think I heard something, but because I didn't see it, I don't even know
how
if it happened.
Silly is
that's
that?
That's literally the rules.
Isn't that incredible?
And then Coke will be like, no, we'll put money now. We'll give you money.
Dude, it's 2010, and that's still going on.
Dude, Mike and Molly, which I'm sure, I don't know, but it's like about fat people. And they just, it's a new show.
That's the Billy Gardell show, right?
Half hour. It's a new half hour sitcom. It's right? Literally, the whole premise, I think, is like fat people like each other too. Whoa. And it's like the number one new show. Like, it's people of fucking course. Love it.
They, well, Billy Gardell is a very funny comic.
I'm sure he is.
You ever seen him do stand-up?
No, I've never seen him do stand-up, but I work with on Samantha Who with Melissa McCarthy, the girl that plays, I guess, his girlfriend, and she's super funny too. But I think that's the whole thing. It's just
you
like fat.
People just want to see someone like them.
That's it.
There's a lot of fat people in this country, man. You don't realize until you leave and you go somewhere else.
Dude, look at Charlie Sheen. Look at Charlie Sheen. Like, literally, how do you do the shit he does, which is fucking great. Let him do whatever he wants to do. But then the guy...
For people who don't know, while we're talking, Charlie Sheen just got busted
again.
With another hooker. Before, he was wearing masks and shit. Dude, he's so addicted to hookers. He's got to wear, like, mustaches and shit.
His ex-wife and his kids were in, like, two rooms down. Like, he brought them to New York for the first time. So, like, they were out seeing Mary Poppins the night before.
Oh, my God. And then he's staying in another room and just getting hookers.
He took them all to dinner, like, with the hooker beforehand. It's, like, at a gorgeous restaurant. God. He just can't, like, he's how do you dark. Not, like, that one night, dark. You're like, look, my kids are down the hallway. Let's just get through this one night.
This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're looking for something to do this summer, you might want to check out some of the upcoming fights. Even better if you can catch them up close in person. It's quite an experience. But if you want to get the best seats, you have to act fast. And that's true for a lot of things in life, especially when it comes to hiring for your business. You need to hire the most talented people you can before the competition scoops them up. And to do that, you need ZipRecruiter. And luckily, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. Got your eye on a rock star candidate? ZipRecruiter's invite to apply feature lets you cut the line. Once you review ZipRecruiter's list of the most qualified candidates for your job, you can easily invite your top choices to apply to encourage them to apply sooner. So, amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan to try it for free right now. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Guys, you're responsible for taking care of you, and that means spending some time cleaning yourself up. But I know that can be a challenge, especially when you're not sure what products or razors to use. So to help you get started, I want to recommend Manscaped. They can help you take care of all your grooming needs, even when it comes to your more sensitive areas, or as our friends at Manscaped like to call them, the boys. Their trimmers, the Lawnmower 3.0 Plus, 4.0 Pro, and 5.0 Ultra are all equipped with skin-safe technology to help reduce the risk of grooming accidents. They're also waterproof and come with an LED spotlight so you can actually see what you're shaving. And I know that summer's coming, which means vacations and traveling for a lot of you. Well, Manscaped has you covered. Their trimmers come with a convenient travel case that you can easily pack and bring along. For the best you and your boys have ever looked, trust Manscaped. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Rogan at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code Rogan at manscaped.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Skin-safe technology does not guarantee cut protection.
The Charlie Sheen life story movie is going to be awesome. And then I hope Robert Downey Jr. plays Charlie Sheen.
He's the only one that could pull it off. He's got both sides. He's got the good actor. I'm sober. I can get my shit together.
Right.
But plus, I know what this fucking guy went through.
They're both nuts.
But he asked for a raise, dude, and he got it.
Oh, my God.
That's the craziest shit in the world. Like, to be like, I just fucking got busted again, but now I want $1.5 million an episode.
God. Damn, that's a lot of money.
Dude, that's insanity. Oh,
that's, what do they do? 25 a year at least, right? Maybe more?
22, 25.
Maybe
plus
more.
Plus syndication.
Big hit shows, sometimes they do more. At Fear Factor's peak, we were doing 34 a year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Sitcoms get like that, too. If it's a big sitcom.
They just pump more out because America wants
like,
it.
Yeah, like the dark days of news radio, we knew that we were in trouble when we were getting like 19, 18.
Yeah.
Know? You know,
they would start cutting the order a little bit.
Yeah, if you're not getting as many, if you have like 32 and they give you an order for like 25 or something like that,
then you know
you're fucked.
Yeah, you're like fucking start updating the reel.
Begun. What's up, Brian? What are you doing with your hand?
Fleshlight.
Oh yeah, that's right. We're sponsored by the Fleshlight.
Oh really?
Have you ever fucked one of these things?
No, dude. But Bobby Lee bought one.
This one, no one has fucked.
Like, it's amazing.
This one, no one has fucked, so you can touch it.
Really?
Yeah.
Put your finger in it.
Just feel how lifelike it feels,
dude.
Isn't that crazy?
That's trademark.
But here's another 2010 thing. This is fucking controversial. People have given me shit. People have given me shit about supporting this.
Why?
About having this it's a tube being a sponsor on the podcast.
Something because scientific inside.
This could prevent you from doing other things.
What's the difference between this and your hand? I mean, besides
nothing.
This feels
it's
fucking
ridiculous.
Amazing.
Except you're admitting, you're absolutely admitting that not only have you used it, are you going to use it, you're paying to use it. You know, it's like,
dude, I would fuck this right now if you guys promised to turn your heads for fucking 10 minutes. I would fuck
you gotta
it right
lube
now.
It up first if you're gonna do that.
It's amazing.
Yeah, dude, they're awesome, man. They're way better than beating off. Way better.
Way better.
I can't wait.
But sometimes I'm so lazy, okay, that I'm sitting in my office and that thing is over here on the couch or a one that I would use.
Yeah.
And I just beat off instead because I'm too lazy to get out of my chair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just sit it. Over there. I've been in hotel rooms before. Where you know, like, your computer's, like, going to die, so you go plug it in at the desk.
Right.
And then I'm like, fuck it, I'll just beat off at the desk rather than go back over to the bed. Be like, I'll just, you know, you're like, you can't wait that extra 3 minutes to get enough juice to fucking go back over to the bed. So I'm like, I'll just fucking beat. And there's, like, a window right there.
Beat off sessions in hotel rooms are so clinical. Like, if it's over, it's like, yeah.
Yep.
It's like there's no one there to see it. There's no one there you hide it from.
I've surgical almost. I've forgotten towels before. You know, the towel you bring in, the little one, and I've just rolled over on the fucking sheets. I'm just like, because this is not my, I'm not cleaning this. So this is someone else's fucking responsibility. Roll. Horrible. Horrible mess.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm fond of the gator roll myself. Just fuck it.
Just
what do I
seed
give a shit?
Everywhere.
I'm going to sleep. I wake up. I take a shower. What do I give a fuck?
If it's they blacklighted a fucking hotel room, it would glow in the dark.
Oh, they've done shows. They did one of those Inside Editions, I think it was. One of those, you know, expose TV shows, and they went into a hotel room. It was just like someone got shot with a shotgun in every corner of the room.
Did you hear like in the audio, loads. Like, dear God.
they were a little shocked, especially the comforter was covered with shit and cum.
Oh, my God.
There was shit and cum on the comforter. Because you got to think, people are dirty, man. They take a shit, they don't wipe their ass that good, and they sit naked on the comforter. You know, and then you drop a cookie on that comforter, and you're eating it. When do you think they clean that comforter? Do they clean it once a week, even?
No.
Shit, they're not cleaning it every night, that's for goddamn
it's
sure.
It's expensive.
Yeah, and that thing's gross. That thing has got other
filthy.
People's balls and
no matter
assholes
how nice
and loads.
Of a place you stay at,
I throw my loads on the wall, remember?
Yeah, he throws his loads on the wall when he
what?
Goes to the hotel room.
Yeah, just because I feel like, I could throw my cum anywhere in this room and not have to clean it up.
I've never heard that.
No?
Dude,
that's so sad.
It's
you don't
fun.
Feel for that poor lady when she walks in that room and she knows what that is.
Oh,
in the
hey,
wall.
God,
that's someone's mom.
I think all women love cum.
Get the fuck out of here.
Dude, they all
some
love it.
Old
it
lady like, from Guatemala who walked here. Okay, she is not happy to clean your cum off a wall. Goddamn,
wouldn't it be great though if you walked into a hotel room one time and there's a lady just licking the wall, like Willy Wonka's fucking
finger yourself.
Just
she's
down
hot.
There, just finger
it
blasting.
It must have
herself.
Happened. Someone out there, someone.
If
must,
I just thought of it, someone's done it before.
Someone's must have fucked like a hot maid in a hotel.
Faberman did. I know
really?
That for a fact. Yeah.
Did
this,
he really?
He's got a classic story. I can't even do it justice. But he came in.
Faberman is a savage.
He was beating off, and I think that she knocked, and you know, most people would go, no, I'm good. But he's like, come on in, pig. And she walked in, and I guess she was into it, and she just sat there or fucked him or whatever. They got involved with each other. It was great. But like
wow.
a filthy, like low rent fucking hotel.
Woo!
Yeah.
That's taking a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about not knowing somebody before you fuck them.
Trust me.
I mean, just like, boom, and that's not the first contact, time she's done that. This. Oh, yeah, that girl's not a whore.
Not at all.
Holy shit.
You don't pick Favorman to be your first person.
Maybe you do. Maybe he had the right formula. He maybe had the right amount of swagger, the right amount of assholishness in the moment, you know, right amount of confidence.
Oh my God.
Favorman's a savage.
He really is.
He's a fun dude.
I can't do the story justice, so I won't tell the whole thing, but that's the gist of it. He fucked the fucking cleaning lady.
Faberman is an odd comic. He's one of those odd guys, like an angry dude.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, man, you know, this guy doesn't seem to have that comic personality. You know, you know, a lot of comics probably have been bullied when they were younger. Faberman does not seem like a guy who's been bullied.
No, he's adopted. I think that's where it comes from. Oh. Yeah, his parents adopted him. So I think he's always kind of been like, I don't really know what's going on, but I'm the fucking funny guy.
Right,
and
I'm also
cool, you know.
He's a good dude. He's fun to hang out with too.
He really is.
Did you ever see those videos where it's a guy that's filming himself whacking off while maids come into his hotel room?
Oh, he has a setup.
Wait, he films himself whacking off.
Yeah, like he waits there so his dick is in perfect view of the bed, and he puts a camcorder behind him, and it's just a collection of videos of women going, oh. And like,
you know, slamming the door.
Yeah, and it's funny because you look at the style of each maid; it's completely different. Like, one's completely scared. One's like, I've seen this a million times. You know, one's just like, kind of looks at it for a while, like,
How many? Like a whole video?
I think it's like 50, maybe.
Holy shit!
Yeah,
this guy just beating off in front of maids. The guy could go to jail for that. You know, that's like assault.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't it be great if the same lady came in like at the end? She's like, "What again? Really?" Like, he's like, "Oh, what are the chances? Fuck,
not you again."
They don't ever show his face. It's great. It's always like just dick in the front of the camera.
That's hilarious.
And door.
But what if the guy had like a distinguishing mold on his wrist or something like that, and you could tell that it was definitely him?
Yeah.
If that's true, man, that guy could go to jail.
Of course.
Totally.
You can't be just beating off in front of people, man.
That's illegal. I'm pretty sure.
Isn't it funny that you could someone could open the door and you could be rubbing your neck and no one has a problem with it?
No, but
you could rub your nipples and either they would go, well, that's kind of weird, but,
yeah, but we
he's allowed
it.
To do that.
Yeah.
But if you rub your dick, that's like assault.
Going to jail. Going to fucking jail.
I got walked in on in Vancouver. I was in Vancouver and I was naked in my hotel room eating breakfast.
Uh-huh.
Just sitting down. You know, this fucking chick just knock, opens the door right away.
Really?
Yeah, no time. I stood up. I go, I'm naked. And she just shut the door, slammed it, sorry, and just runs out of there. But I was like, what the fuck, man? I'm like, right there. Bam.
Fuck.
You don't just knock and open the door. That's douchey. You don't even give someone a chance to respond.
Then why knock? Just open the fucking door.
Yeah, come on, hooker. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. You don't know what's going on in here. You can't just do that. That's crazy.
No.
You know, I know you're in a hurry to get home. What the fuck?
Yeah, these rooms, I mean, there's always going to be more to clean. I'm going to fuck it up again.
Do you leave tips for maids?
I do. Depends. Depends? I do. No, it depends on, like, there are sometimes I check in hotels. I put that do not disturb sign on for days.
Me too.
And then I'm like, now I feel awful. You know what I'm saying?
And then you leave a big tip.
Then I leave a fucking gigantic tip. Because
what's
it's
the
like
most you've ever left?
$100. I've done horrible. It's been horrible, dude. Like trays of different foods that I don't bring outside. Like one of those week trips where I'm here from Wednesday to Monday.
Right.
This is going to get dirty.
That's cool, though, too, isn't it? Isn't it kind of a cool feeling to leave $100 for the maid when you know the maid's going to come in there and she's going to check? And she's going to go, holy shit,
yeah, this $100 is fucking cool.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a quick story? Me, you, and him went to dinner one night. At the place across the street from the Comedy Store, the 24, the standard diner.
Yeah.
So we had dinner or whatever. That was the night we saw Rampage Jackson in a fur coat.
That yeah, that's right. No shirt. With three chicks.
Yeah, with three chicks.
He came walking out of my
no shirt and a fur coat. And I didn't know who he was, but he knew you. He's like, hey, what's up? And he walks away.
He had sunglasses on.
Dude, it was like 4 a.m.
It's like out of a goddamn movie.
You couldn't have you couldn't have scripted that.
I put that on television.
Did you really?
I put that on. I was doing the show inside the UFC.
Uh-huh.
And when I interviewed him, I said, I want everybody. I found this. This is at 3 o'clock in the morning in Hollywood.
Really?
Him. Holy and he's got these two girls with him. And he's got sunglasses on and a fur coat. I'm like, who the fuck is this pimp? And I go, oh, Quentin. I thought he had to be like some rapper or something.
Didn't he say, and correct me if I'm wrong, didn't he say, I had a baby last night? Didn't like one of the girls he was with had a baby previous night. I swear I remember that.
I don't remember,
do you
remember that.
No, I don't.
No, I think I asked you. Might have just
added
like
to
that.
The no, I really don't fucking think I did. Story. That's a problem with older stories, man. My memory's not
then
that good.
You start adding shit into it. From
you don't
the
even
other
realize you add shit into it, or you subtract shit that was embarrassing to you. You know, and then yeah. somebody else reminds you, and you go, oh yeah.
No.
You know what I just remembered that I have to talk about that I just remembered? My friend Johnny. I used to have a friend who was this crazy professional pool hustler. And he had a girlfriend who was a pool player, too. And most girls that play pool are nuts.
Uh-huh.
90% of them.
Yeah.
And 90% of all girls are nuts. 90% of all guys are nuts, too. We're yeah. all crazy. Well, anyway, the girl used to she used to fake seizures. Like, what? She wanted attention so bad. She was so crazy.
Do you have proof that she did this?
Oh, fucking for sure she faked it.
Faked a seizure?
She would fake it. She would, like, fake falling down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that everybody would be like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And so my friend Johnny knew that she was doing this, so he'd look at me and go like this. Like he knew. He goes, oh, I guess she had a seizure, huh? Well, I got to see if I can wake her up. See if I can wake her up. Like, and he starts smacking her in the face just a little too hard. Just a little harder than you should be. Going, come on, honey. I hope you're okay here. Oh, I hope you're okay. He's smacking her in the face with his fucking heavy New York wow. accent. And she's like flinching pretending to be seizuring. Yeah. Honey, come on. You okay? Don't make me call her. I guess we got to call 911. So she stays with this. They call 911. The fucking paramedics come. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Paramedics come. She's huddled up in a corner by the pool table. And they look at her and they go, this bitch isn't having a coma. She's not having a seizure. She's crazy. What are you doing? What's going on? And she's like, what? And they go, what happened here? They're checking your eyes. They're like, she's fine. Nothing happened. What's going on here? Nothing. I don't know what happened. I think I had a seizure. You didn't have a seizure. Oh, I don't know.
And then how do you start lying? What
and
do you start
they're
saying?
They're outside. They go, so I follow them. I go, okay, I got to hear what these guys are going to say.
Yeah.
And they go, this fucking cunt is faking it. They're like, friend of fuck. I mean, it's, while they're there, okay, they're EMT guys. While they're there, they're ambulance guys. But as soon as they step out that pool hall, they're just dudes.
Yeah.
I'm like, this fucking cunt is faking it. I can't believe this shit. What a crazy bitch. And they get in the car and just drive off. That's the last thing I hear is the driver shaking his head going, cunt. What a fucking crazy bitch. Dude, how many guys just have to settle for that? Because you have to get laid. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You're going to have nothing?
If you hold out too long.
And this is all I can get. All I get is crazy girls, okay? My nose is too big. My feet are too small. I got a stomach I can't get rid of. This is all I can get.
Yep.
Okay, I need something. This is all I can get.
Best case scenario for me.
Shit. This fucking crazy bitch is faking seizures.
How do you smash your head on the ground and don't you swallow your tongue during a seizure?
Well, some people do. Yeah, it's very dangerous. You know, I've seen people seizure before. I saw a woman seizure on a plane once. That was the trippiest because it was post 9/11 and no one knew how to handle like
anything
sort of
that happened
crazy
on a plane.
Situation.
Yeah.
And this lady was in the chair behind us. Like I heard noise first. Like I heard like okay. What do we do here? What's going on? And I take my headphones on and I turn around and while I'm turning around, this woman is just it's like she's gonna turn into the Exorcist. I'm watching her. I'm like, what if she becomes a werewolf right here? What if it's like, you're trapped on a plane with this fucking chick and her clothes are shredding
there's
and hair's
some dude
everywhere.
In the back going, really?
Crazy red eyes. And she just starts slaughtering the whole plane.
On a plane?
Yeah, the only person she doesn't slaughter is the pilot because she can't get in. She can't get past the door. So the plane lands. They open up the hatches from the outside and it's just a werewolf and bodies.
Everywhere.
Blood just pours out of the plane. He ate everybody on the plane.
Dude, werewolves
and everyone
on
just
the
starts
plane.
Blaming Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, werewolves
immediately.
On a plane.
That's a good
Samuel
idea.
Samuel Jackson, call him up.
Yep.
We'll get Marky Mark to produce it. Brody Stevens will be the announcer on the news.
Brody.
Enjoy
you
it.
Never thought it would happen. It's on a plane. You don't get it. I'm real.
Leather exterior.
Cruise control in reverse.
For you, the people who are not in Southern California do not know the pleasure that is watching Brody Stevens do stand-up comedy.
It really is a joy.
He's fucking awesome. He's so unusual and unique. Like, his comedy style is so, like, if you saw it on paper, you go, what's so funny about it? This is not funny at all.
Yeah.
But you see him, and you can't stop repeating it. He could say the same joke 100 times in a row. I still enjoy it every fucking time.
Cadence.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
If I go on after him sometimes, like, I will, like, start to get a like you just kind of slide into that.
It's very contagious. What?
Who are you looking at?
It's not going to mean you drew my
are
voice.
You
will drop.
Judging me? Yeah, don't you dare yes. judge me, voice in the darkness.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, I was a model in Pakistan.
I did
I was
a lot
on the
of
cover
cave
of Camel today. Beat.
I fought in the Iraqi war, and sure, I was an Iraqi soldier, but that's not the point.
It's so funny because he recently co-hosted the Adam Carolla podcast, yeah. and every single message on the thing was like, this is the worst. This guy sucks. I hate this guy. I'm turning it off. And it's so amazing how the learning curve for Brody is sharp. Long. Because when I first met Brody, yeah. I was at the Man Show, and he would like open up the audience before the Man Show. And I remember being from Ohio, not living in California, and he was like a Nazi. Driver with clapping, like I felt like I had to clap so much.
He's really
and,
good
and,
at it.
And like me and my friends that were with us, like I don't want to clap anymore, but he's yelling at us, you know. So my first impressions of Brody was like, this guy is so angry and mean.
Yeah, it takes a while to understand what Brody's really all about. Yeah,
it's great.
I've been in like crazy situations with him. Because you know he plays baseball, so we were on the roof of the Palms. He was doing Best Damn Sports Show in Vegas, and I happened to be gigging there. So we're on the roof of the Palms throwing with this pitcher, and because he had an elbow surgery. So we're going back and forth, Brody and I, with this guy, Denny Nagel, and the guy throws me – I make him throw the ball, and he goes like 2 feet to his right, and Brody goes, don't embarrass me. Throw it. He's a major leaguer. Throw it to his chest. And the guy's like, it's okay. It's not a big deal. Don't embarrass – I brought you into the inner circle here. Don't show me well, up.
And for him, that's very serious too.
Of course, dude, that's
he's a fucking serious pitcher.
I think if you gave him the option to give it all up tomorrow, comedy, everything, and just you could be a minor league baseball player, he would pack it all in.
Really?
Yeah, I think he would have given it all up.
How close was he to being able to
he
play
went
professionally?
To Arizona State. He went on a scholarship. Like he was very good. He was like a Division I baseball player.
He's a pitcher, right?
Pitcher, but then I think he had like elbow surgery, and then it just never really recovered after that. That was probably like mid to early 90s, and they didn't have like the same kind of – they didn't have the good shit that they have now.
Yeah, when they fixed you up back then, you were still jacked.
Yeah, you were still like, I don't know, this may not work out.
Yeah, like if they did ACLs back then, I have a friend who he was on the U.S. ski team, and he had like some ungodly number of knee surgeries. Like
really?
More than 11. I think he had like 16. I think there were 16 knee surgeries all told. He actually has metal parts in his knee now where like his calcium or his cartilage rather had rotted away, had been chewed up so much that they had to cover it with stainless steel. So now it's stainless steel over stainless steel. So it doesn't touch bone on bone anymore. It touches steel on steel. Yeah, it's incredible.
I think that's the roughest one on your knees, the skiing.
Yeah.
It's
well,
all
back
your
then,
fucking knees.
He was in the ski team in the 80s. And so the operations they did on your knees then were ungodly. Both of his legs looked like he was a fish. Like they just opened him up.
Jesus. Yeah. You have ACLs, right?
Both replaced. But all modern style. Like everything works great.
Yeah.
It's no problem at all. I
monkey ones? Did they give you
No, they take monkey.
Don't they do that now?
They take cadavers. They can't take it from other animals.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they can't do anything from other animals. Didn't they transplant a pig heart, though, or they tried?
Yeah, I thought they were doing that, the valve, or is it a pig valve?
A valve,
or
yeah,
something
like that, like a valve. Yeah, pigs apparently are very similar biologically to people. But yeah, this one is with a piece of a dead guy. It's a cadaver.
Oh, really?
Yeah, basically the cadaver just, from what I understand, acts as scaffolding. And this cadaver... When it's put in place, all the other tissue grows around it, and then eventually that tissue forms its own ligament in place of it.
Is that a donor thing?
Yeah, it's a donor thing.
So if you mark donor, they can take whatever they want.
Yeah, they could take it. You could get
it. It's good.
Yeah, they take an Achilles tendon because it's a bigger, thicker tendon.
Uh-huh.
And they rebuild it. It's actually better than the original knee. But like with like pitchers and shit like that, when those guys blow their elbows out and blow their shoulders out, fuck, man. That's such a horrible movement, that movement of throwing a ball really fast.
Yeah.
It really rips your shit apart.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Which is why it's incredible when you think about Nolan Ryan. The fact that old dude was pitching like till he was like fucking 40.
And he probably,
right?
He was 90% not on steroids or something like that.
Yeah,
they didn't have like
barbecue. Texas barbecue. That's what he was on.
Yeah. There's a dude, David Wells, who's like 6'5", 290 pounds. And he just threw till 42. He just had like a rubber arm.
Jesus
big fat lefty.
Christ.
Never in shape. Threw a perfect game. Never in shape. Like that guy would not. he could be like a cop. Like, he'd be the cop on the subway. They just, like, post him up in the subway where it's like he doesn't have to run that much. Right. Just fucking put him on the subway.
Just block the
just make sure
style.
Nobody smokes pot in this car particular. Don't have to go to other fucking cars. Just stay in this one. That's what this guy was like.
That's hilarious. Yeah, there's a lot of fat dudes like that that play baseball. It's kind of funny when you stop and think about it. Like, that's one sport where you could just have a gut.
Yeah, you can literally have that golf, just a fat gut.
Well, there's a guy who fights in the UFC. His name is Roy Nelson.
I saw the show he was on. He came in like second. Yeah. Did he win?
He won. Okay. He won the Ultimate Fighter. He's got a tremendous gut, an epic gut. What's the matter, Brian?
But he used it, right?
Just mad internet problems.
Are we on?
Are we on?
It's recording to iTunes, so don't worry about it. But
what did you just disconnect?
Ustream's going in and out. So
is it really?
Yeah. So I've been trying to fix it the whole time. Tried everything on this end, so it must be internet end.
Oh.
But it's recording on iTunes right now. Okay. So don't worry about it.
Yeah, but is it back on Ustream or is it off air?
I'm checking right now. It keeps on going. It keeps on disconnecting and going on and off. So. Is there anything running on any of your computers that's like streaming stuff?
No, nothing streaming, man. We have my internet's up, dude.
Okay, it's back on right now. Like it's been going back on and off. So
okay, yeah, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, that you have to listen to this. We got some problems with cable. I think cable might suck. Cable internet. Do you like that AT&T U-verse? You're using that now, right?
I really do. I mean, it's a little touchy here and there once in a while. Like if you use the HDMI cables and you have everything set up high-techly,
right?
It fucks up a lot. And like it's crazy.
It fucks up how?
Well, see, the thing that they're having right now, they're having a lot of sound issues with the Ustream. So like it's either like a couple seconds
with
off.
With Ustream?
I mean, sorry, not Ustream.
U-verse.
It's like a couple seconds off, like the lip syncing problem.
A couple seconds?
Yeah, there's problems like that, and they're fixed right now. Since they opened up or whatever, they have had the same problem. Their fix right now is just to downgrade your audio to just like regular, you know, yellow, white.
What?
And I'm like, all right, you have like this high tech digital thing, and cable has no problems like this. You have this high tech thing, but you want me to go audio left channel, right channel?
Really?
Yeah.
They want you to downgrade your audio so that it syncs up.
That's their fix to their audio issues. Whoa. Using HDMI or optical.
Oh well, fuck that.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
This episode is brought to you by Simply Safe. With summer coming up, I bet a lot of you have plans to travel, which is great. You should get out and experience the world. But I also know how stressful traveling can be. That's why I want to recommend Simply Safe. It provides award-winning security and peace of mind so you can have one less thing to worry about when you're away from your home this summer. I think Simply Safe is a great option for home security because it protects your whole home, inside and out. It has a variety of cameras and sensors to detect the worst of the worst, including fires, floods, break-ins, and more. Simply Safe has your back, and I especially like how there's no contracts and a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it out confidently and really see if Simply Safe is a good fit for you and your place. Everyone deserves to have peace of mind when they're away from home, and Simply Safe can help give you that. So try it out today. Right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/Rogan. That's simplysafe.com/Rogan. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
I mean, it's not every day. Like once a week or something like that, you'll be like, ugh, it's a second off. All right, I'm in bed. I don't give a shit, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
That drives me nuts, man. I can't watch interviews where they're talking and it's a second off. It literally makes me blow a fuse. Yeah. I can't watch it. I can't focus on anything else. You know, I'm like, how do I know that this is even what he's really saying?
Dude, because I've done that in porn. You ever do that in porn where you're on like XNXX and like the sound will be 3 seconds off? And I'm like, wait, she just mouthed that. I know, like, I can't. I got to turn it off.
Yeah, turn off the volume though, right? I don't need volume. I don't need to hear what she's
saying. I need to hear.
Do you?
Yeah. I could probably, if I could see and jerk off, I would probably last longer than if I just heard and jerked off.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're one of those dudes who would call like a phone sex line.
I've never done it. A 900. I think I'm just probably just would never fucking ever do that. I probably would like with technology now. Maybe if this was like 75, I'd be like, I'm going to call one of those fucking numbers.
I called one of those numbers when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah, I was like 16 or 17 because I was still living at home. And I called one of those numbers, and I was beaten off while I called. Mm-hmm. And right whenever when she answered, when she was like, "Yes, may I help you?" I'm like, "Oh," I just came all over myself.
Wow.
I was like so nervous that I was doing this. I felt so dirty and stupid and weird.
Yeah, you were
I'm
just
calling, and I'm like, "How am I? What, how do you do this? I don't even know what I do. Does mm-hmm. it cost money? How, where does the money go to? Is
it did it get billed to your house? Bill? Right?
I don't know.
Oh my god!
I don't know. Just what a fucking creepy thing. Beaten off on the phone, calling somebody up.
Yeah,
who's gonna say nasty shit to you so you could beat off on the phone? Remember Marilyn Martinez used to do that?
Yeah,
which is hilarious. Marilyn, God bless her soul.
I know,
was a very funny woman. But it's the best way to put this. She's very, very large.
Yeah,
and
she was a bigger woman.
Yeah,
bigger woman.
You would you know hope that the woman on the other end did not look like this.
Yeah, yeah. You would say to yourself, yeah, just
it was
in my
cliche
mind,
almost.
Yeah, it wasn't what I was hearing.
And she was good at it too. She would tell you what she would say.
Oh, all yeah.
sorts of dirty shit.
Filthy, dude.
With that Mexican accent.
With
damn dirty shit.
Like, there's nothing that you could say or think that, like, tell her to say that she hasn't, like, wouldn't be like, all right, I'll say that. That's no problem.
Yeah.
You're not going to offend her.
Yeah. She was one of those old school Comedy Store veterans as well. She was always there.
I know.
Always at that place. What a fucking strange place that is. That's one of those places, man. Where, you know, you get away from it for a few years, like I've been, and then you just step back and look at it and you go, what a strange-ass fucking club that is.
But you know what, though? I don't know how you feel, but I just feel like no matter what, I probably wouldn't be who or where I am right now if it wasn't for that place.
You would be. You'd be no matter where you went on stage.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, sure, that place is interesting.
Because I think that place kind of builds a different muscle that a lot of other – I see other comics that don't have it.
Well, it's not necessarily all good.
A lot of it is
like there's an anger to the type of Comedy Store comedy, you know, that's sometimes not necessary, but a lot of it's there because you're dealing with all these idiots in the audience, you know. Mm-hmm. There's no crowd control in that place.
No.
I've never really worked at a major name club like that before that has no manager in the back who's quieting people and keeping everybody calm. There's nothing going on there.
Yeah, the inmates run the asylum.
Oh, my God. But they don't even anymore. It used to be that they did, but now they're like try to actually manage it. And there's people who make decisions and tell the comics what to do. And now it gets bizarre. You know, now they're, you know, Ari's been told many times to clean up his act. And,
yeah.
Yeah, and he can't go on after certain people or before certain people.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, it's changed. I mean, I feel... Like, I still love the place, and I go there. They treat me really well. I just, you know, there's a new generation there. I feel like I'm one of the older guys now.
Well,
I've seen that happen over
the
course.
You know, when I first came there in 1994, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
Uh-huh.
When I first came there, I'd heard about the Comedy Store. It was like, to me, it was like Mecca. It was like, that was like when I was in Boston, you would always hear about, you know, Richard Pryor performed at the Comedy Store in L.A. That was the place where everybody went. So for me, it was like important to get a TV show and everything. I was like, wow, this is crazy. I'm on TV. But what was really important to me is like, wow, I'm a paid regular at the Comedy Store now.
Yeah.
You know, and I get to go there all the time. This is like the club. But when I went there, I'd see like James Stevens III singing and fucking, you know, I'd see like a bunch of shit that was like just really subpar.
Oh, horrible.
Horrible comics that should have, you know, stopped a long time ago. And this is the only club that they still perform at.
I worked the cover booth there before you started doing the normal Saturday nights. And dude, the lineup for $20 was like LaMare, LaBoga, Anon Chalani, Amy Ashton. And you were like, and people would come up to me like an hour into the
Hollywood
show.
On Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah. People come to me after an hour and be like, can I have my $20? Like, you've robbed me. Like, you give me my $20 back.
Yeah.
And I couldn't look him in the eye because I knew that it was horrific. Horrific.
There's no other club like that in the whole city, in the whole country.
No.
If you went to Catch in New York back in the day, you know, and you went on a Friday night lineup, you know, in the heyday of comedy in New York, you would see all these great guys. You'd see David Tell. You'd see all these guys coming up and doing sets. In the Comedy Store, in like especially like in the late 90s, there was like it was dark, man. You know, it was dark. There was some bad times. You know, there wasn't a lot of like good talent there, and that's when Mencia started coming up, and that's when Eddie Griffin had already done an HBO special. He was already pretty popular, really popular amongst Black people, and it was before he really completely went insane too. He was like much
I
more
never,
rational.
Yeah, that sucks. I never because I heard from a lot of people that when that guy wanted to turn it on.
Like, there was a switch.
You never saw?
I never got to see that. Dude, I've never seen him be like, good night, my name's Eddie Griffin, good night.
Dude, I've seen...
It's always been just people walking out and in 4, 5, 10-hour sets where you're like, fuck, dude, why did I never get that shit?
What y'all don't know, okay, is that there's gold at the bottom of the World Trade Center towers and that the trains was running all night.
Dude, me and Ari are in the back row one time. I swear to God, there's about 4 people in the audience. And he goes like this. He goes, you don't think the government was part of 9-11? Pentagon. Penta. 9-11. Nobody says a fucking word. I turn to Ari, I go, are you going to raise your hand or am I? To tell this fucking guy that Penta means fucking 5. What is wrong with this guy? Like, nobody says a word. And then he tagged it with, suck my dick. And I was like, that was it. People going crazy. I was like, Ari, suck my dick. But I heard him fuck a chick one time in the main room bathroom, dude. He crushed this girl. That was like my only way of ever seeing him kill. Like, fucking, he destroyed this fucking girl.
What happened?
Me, Ari, and Freddie Soto listened to this dude fuck this girl. Oh, fuck her. Oh, dude, he fucked her. She fucking was crying, dude. And he would just be, oh, bitch, just fucking killing this girl's pussy for about, I don't know, 20 minutes. And I'm like, that's the closest I'll ever get to him listening to him.
When I first started coming there, he was he would have sets. Every now and then he would have sets where he would come in and really just get it together. And you saw like what the potential was. He could have been like an all-time great.
Yeah.
He could have been for real all-time great. You ever see his HBO set?
The no.
HBO set? Woo! I don't know how it holds up today. I haven't watched it in a long time.
Uh-huh.
But I remember watching it going, God damn, this fucking dude's got talent.
Oh, really?
He was powerful, man.
Yeah.
It was like, he was doing like whatever it was, like 10 minutes or something like that, and just went out. Oh, it might have been a half an hour. Might have been a HBO half hour. No, I'm not sure what he did.
Uh-huh.
But I remember the set. I remember him just destroying.
Really?
And I remember like almost being like you know, like taken aback. Like, wow, that's out there?
This is different level in LA? Shit.
This is another level.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he was, man. He could have been. But he was like the shining star of that club back then. It was fucking dark, man. Those are dark days.
That was. It was, you know, it was him and Carlos and Dice. And
it's just weird when you realize what you think it is when you're living in Boston. You're going to get there. It's going to be this perfect place where it's all about the art. And there's going to be all these incredible comics. And everyone's going to grow and learn from each other. And you get there and people are singing on stage and just stupid shit with, you know, that they've been doing for like 20 years, the same set. I'm like, wow, this is so weird, man.
Because of strange loyalties that go way back. Fucking packs with, you know, if we all make it, we'll all help each other out. There's like, I heard so many stories. Remember Harris?
Yeah.
Told me the story about him and Letterman. And
he would always
Leno.
Say that. That's all he would ever say. Those guys said they were going to come and get me. Those guys said
like literally like strange packs. That's why like people, you know, like Argus is there all at 9:15. Just like weird deals with what
Who's
happened.
Who's more bitter than Harris?
I don't know anyone. I
no one.
I'm sure.
Never met anybody.
Dude, I never met a guy that hated everything. Like
yeah,
he, everything. I would be like, oh, how is Billy Crystal? One of the worst human beings I've ever met in my life.
But I'll tell you what, when that guy would give you a compliment, you know, I would throw people out of the Comedy Store. Whenever I throw people out, I would buy everyone in the crowd a shot.
That's amazing.
I remember that now. I'd spend thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I remember that. You'd be like, it got weird in here. We all realize it's weird. Why don't we fucking just chill out?
Yeah.
Everyone, let's do a shot, and then fucking we'll move on, and we'll have fun.
We'll do this together in the spirit of friendship. This doesn't have to happen. I'm like, this is only happening because there's douchebags in the world.
It's not
happening because I want to be angry at somebody. Like, we should be having a good time here, you know. Even if we don't agree with each other, we should be enjoying our company. We should be having fun. It should like when someone's yelling at you and someone's heckling.
It throws it off for everything.
It's just cunt shit. It's just you're an asshole. Period. If you don't like something, if I'm at a show that I don't enjoy, I'll just leave.
Get up and leave.
Yeah, I mean, there's no problem with getting up and leaving. So I totally understand it.
But by coming in the door and paying money, or whether you paid money or didn't pay money, you're basically saying, okay, I'm along with all these other people to watch what we're making
an agreement.
And yeah, and we're gonna be sit here and we're gonna watch it, and either we're gonna enjoy it or not enjoy it, but we'll do it as a group. And if you want to separate yourself from the group, then fucking get out and leave.
Yes.
Without having to be like, I'm going to speak for the rest of us by saying I don't like this. It's like, well, then you are not speaking for all of us. Speak for yourself by getting up quietly and fucking leaving.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's, I mean,
there's that. I mean, it's whatever it is. It's always that the person wants to be the center of attention. It's always that. No one yells something out unless they're trying to get a bunch of people around them to laugh, or they want to disrupt the show. They want to do something that calls attention to themselves.
Yeah.
Undue attention. So they're always disbalanced. Well, the, where it came from, the Harris Pete story, this is the connection, was that Harris never said a good thing to me ever, you know? Ever.
Yeah.
But I would buy the whole crowd like a shot, and he goes, tell you what, I've been here for 30 years. I've never saw anybody do that before. Not Pryor, not Kinison. It was a classy move.
And that's it.
And but he didn't even look me in the eye when he said it. He was like, so reluctant.
Just, okay, fine.
You know?
Yeah.
You're a classy man, gentle.
Just like, bitterness, wow. Man. No one. He hated everything.
Yeah. But at that place, man, you had to deal with so many douchebags. There were so many assholes in the audience. No, that like people always say, like, oh, there's all these videos of you dealing with hecklers. Like, why are you so good at dealing with hecklers? Like, you have to be. If you want to work at the Comedy Store, you have to learn how to deal with hecklers. Because, first of all, you're dealing with a very specific kind of heckle.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big percentage of the hecklers. Not all of them. But a good percentage of them are the failed actor heckle.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of dudes that really wanted to come out here and make
and
a fucking splash.
Didn't fucking
and
happen.
Their dreams are dashed against the rocks, and they're drunk, and you're on stage,
yep.
And there's some real bitterness to that. Oh. That's a confrontational asshole heckle that you get at the Comedy Store where you don't get anywhere else.
No.
If Steve Ranazzisi from the league is fucking in Pittsburgh, they're gonna go, holy shit, that guy, I love your show.
Great,
you're
yeah,
here right
appreciate
now.
It.
In Hollywood, they look at you like this fucking could have been me. Could've
yeah,
been me.
Exactly.
There.
This guy pulled the right number.
Yeah. Who the fuck are you? Well, you got your lucky and you're special.
It's the worst, dude.
What are you
the
doing, worst. Brian?
Switching cable too.
Switching cable.
Are we disconnected from the internet again?
It keeps on disconnecting.
But it was on for me, bro.
Yeah, but it's been giving me errors and closing down Ustream, saying errors connecting to server and stuff like that. Here. See, I keep on getting disconnected from the server.
All right, let's just stop playing with it. It is what it is.
All right.
Okay. For the iTunes, it'll be perfect. Maybe it'll make us have more iTunes downloads.
Okay, it's on right
I get obsessed with my iTunes number.
Do you really?
No.
I don't give a fuck. You don't care?
I do give a fuck a little bit.
Are you enjoying? Because I've watched like 10, I was telling Brian. Are you enjoying doing it?
It's fun.
It looks like
fuck.
You're lucky. You're
yeah.
having fun.
Yeah, we enjoy it. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's so easy. You just set up, smoke a joint,
and you talk
about some shit.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, how many conversations in the back alley of the Comedy Store, that back parking lot? How many great, great conversations did we get in back then?
Unbelievable.
If those were on tape,
forget it.
Be classics.
Yeah.
With some classic times. That's one of the reasons why I hired Brian in the first place.
Just to get all the stuff.
All that stuff. That like fun conversations would always take place. I mean, it's like when you get a chance to hang out with, you know, other comedians. I mean, how often do you get a chance to just hang out?
And just having those kind of nights where shit would just kind of all happen around the same time, and it would be like one thing leads into another, then this thing happens. It's just fucking incredible.
It's a magical. That was one thing about that place. It was like a magnet for freaks. It was a magnet for
like craziness.
Like
a homing beam that it would just shoot out. Like
remember
the
that
Batman
hooker,
song.
Brian? Yeah. The hooker came back and just told us her whole deal. She goes on Craigslist and puts up ads. And remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
On camera, she's telling us the whole story.
Yeah. Remember that crazy girl that got mad at you for or checking your phone to see what time it was?
Oh yeah, yeah. We made a video of that too. Yeah, she got so angry. Somebody called me and I was talking to her and I looked at my phone and all of a sudden she started freaking out at me because I looked at my phone.
What?
Yeah,
it was like because you looked at your phone.
I'm like, I don't even know you. This could be my mom.
Yeah,
you know, like what the fuck?
You're the most important person in my life, as opposed to
you,
who I just
bitch.
Met fucking 4 minutes ago.
You're very nice, but look, this shit might be important.
Can you imagine if during that time what you guys are talking about, like iPhone 4s were available, all the videos that people would have in their pocket back then.
Yeah,
it'd
I know.
Be so much.
It's pretty crazy to think that was just a few years ago, and
right.
the whole landscape has radically changed.
It's been like what? You know? 4 years, and now you can literally videotape an hour and a half conversation in HD and Twitter it to hundreds of thousands of people in minutes.
Yeah, what the fuck?
That's the craziest thing ever.
And it's only the beginning.
It's going everywhere, too. Like, when I went to see D. Antwoord at Kimmel, everybody had their iPhone 4s, H3s, everyone recording HD quality video now, front row, and immediately uploading it to YouTube. It's totally changed.
Yeah. When I go on stage now, I'll see 20, 30 phones up in the audience.
Yeah.
I see it all the time.
Can you imagine that shit like during Led Zeppelin's,
God,
you know,
damn,
or the Doors even, or the, you know.
That would have been insane. See some Jimi Hendrix live.
Yeah.
You know, Phil Hartman used to tell me a story about when Phil was a kid, when he first came to Hollywood, he was working as like an assistant, you know, at concerts. And I think it was at the Roxy. I think he said the Roxy. And Jimi Hendrix was on stage. And he had to keep his hands on the speaker to keep it from getting knocked over into the crowd. So that was his job. Stand there on the speaker, like keep with his hands up like this, while Jimi Hendrix was playing on stage 4 feet in front of him.
Wow. He just got to watch.
Yeah,
it's
and
amazing.
He was a huge, huge, huge fan. So for him, he was like, he's like standing in front of God. And Jimi Hendrix was
fucking, that's crazy.
Nobody was jamming like that.
If he could have pulled out this time machine and just videotaped this fucking thing.
Fuck.
I mean, that's what happens now.
You want to talk about a guy who like literally like reinvented the way music sounded. Like Jimi Hendrix songs like Voodoo Child.
Yeah, nothing.
Who the fuck ever played guitar like that before?
No, no one.
I mean, it's so distinctively his, like the Star Spangled Banner. Nobody does that like him. Even when they do it, it sounds
contrived.
Yeah, it sounds like you're trying to like sound cool with your guitar. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like he had a way of playing. It didn't sound like he was trying to be cool with his guitar. It was like raw energy coming out
of
his body.
He didn't know
body.
What was next.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he didn't know how he was going to play the next line.
Yeah, he wasn't trying to show you how badass he is with the guitar. He was letting all this badass shit flow through him. It was very genuine. You know, there's like a lot of guys that are like really good. Like I know people get into them and they like, boy, this guy can shred. You know, they play a Steve Vai CD. Like, dude, he fucking shreds. Nothing for me. Does nothing.
Yeah.
I can't listen to it. It's like, I understand that it's a technically, you know, he's really good at it.
He's moving his fingers extremely
fucking
fast.
Badass with this guitar thing, but it doesn't do shit for me.
Yeah.
But you would listen to like Voodoo Child, you know, just the beginning.
Yeah,
you know, just beginning. It's something pure about it, man. You can tell when someone nails it. You can tell when someone really hits that pure vein, you know, where it's like whatever the fuck is coming out of them, there's no pretense to it at all. You know, that's one of the things, you know, going back to the Comedy Store that was great about that club was those late night sets where there was like fucking six people in the audience.
Magic,
man. How much
Holtzman.
Crazy shit did we see? Diaz. You remember Diaz taking off his shirt? I don't know if you were there for this night. It was in the main room. There was maybe five, six people in the audience and the comics, okay?
Okay.
Then maybe not even five, maybe four. Okay, four people. I believe it was two couples and then comics.
Uh-huh.
And Joey goes on stage and has War Pig playing Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
He takes his fucking shirt off, okay? And he's what, 350, 375, 375 pounds with his shirt off and belting out the lyrics in tune to War Pig. And everyone's going nuts. People are fucking arms up in the air. Comics are screaming, yes,
yeah.
Yes. I mean, he just nailed it. You know, it was just he was in the groove where he didn't give a fuck.
I know.
He just purely didn't give a fuck.
Those sets, and they could happen on a they were like it was a fairly regular basis.
Yeah.
Like one out of every three would be like, so you had to see all of them because you didn't want to miss that fucking 33% where it was just like, dude, you fucking missed Diaz last night.
How
he
many
was doing
times?
The finger thing, but he only went like
finger
12
thing.
The fucking little and it, but there was only like there were and they were quick, they were like 12 minutes, like he power fucked you for 12 minutes because then after that it was like I'm literally running out of fucking like energy / mental capacity to fucking keep this up. All right, good night.
The Diaz would leave a void too.
Oh,
when
dude.
He would crush like that on stage, he would leave a hole that the next guy, that poor fuck, no matter what he did, he's not going to fill that hole.
Dude, when I first started watching you, I was like, because I saw Diaz before I saw you. And then when I saw you, I'm like, this guy's going after Diaz? What fucking balls? And like, you would do it on a regular basis. And I was like, that's how fucking you get really, because how the fuck, like what kind of energy, no matter what you say is not going to be as filthy as what he just said in the way he said it. And when he fucking lit it up, you were like, this is fucking tough to fucking go on after. It was
but
crazy.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
That's why I take Joey on the road with me. He's coming. We're in Austin, Texas next week.
That's
he does a half an hour and destroys, and then he brings me up. It's great. That's the way to do it, man.
I know.
That's the way to do it for two reasons. One, because it makes me laugh, because nobody makes me laugh like him. He's so crazy. It's just with the shit that he says is so ridiculous. He's so over the top.
Talk about someone who really, like, well, you were talking about Hendrix, like, has no idea what's coming out of his mouth next.
Idea.
But
no
and or how he's going to say it, or even what topic he's going to talk about. But you know it's going to be inside of him. It's coming from fucking his soul.
Yeah, he's a savage. He's a real savage.
Yeah.
Like, I would talk about it on stage, but these are all true things that he doesn't know how old he is. Joey's – I watched him tape a CD the other day. He recorded a CD.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. He's going to do another one that didn't work out that good.
Uh-huh.
But there was a lot of really funny shit on it, though. But one of the things that was hilarious is his age. He's like, guys, I'm 40 years old. I'm 40 years old, guys. And then, like, 20 20 minutes later, I'm 45 years old, guys. He literally doesn't know how fucking old he is. I mean, it changes with the time. If you ask him, how old are you? I'm 44, 44, 45, 46, 47. What the fuck, cocksucker? What's with the questions? Where's the reefer, bitch? What do you give a fuck how old I am? What are you, the IRS? You're wearing a wire?
He's like, who's afraid of Virginia Woolf? He just believes whatever age he is at that fucking time. He's like, no, we have a baby.
I don't know how old he is, but I do know that until like 2001 or 2 or whatever it was, whenever he moved in with Terry.
Uh-huh.
You never knew where the fuck that guy was.
No.
He had a pager. He didn't even have a cell phone. He had a pager. And if he lost that pager, he fucking vanished, man. He didn't have an address. He was sleeping on people's couches. So where the fuck was Joe Diaz? Nobody knew where he was. It was just straight up guesswork.
Cryptic. Man. But yeah. But probably, I would love to, you know, be around at that time.
Yeah.
Just be on the fucking road with him.
Dude, he's
be inside
he's
of him.
Goddamn classic.
What? Wait, that didn't come out
fuck,
right.
Bro.
I'd love to be inside of him.
Fuck, bro. Hold on,
that got creepy.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I know, but you imagine if you could beat Joey Diaz for a day? You imagine? Just fucking wake up in the morning, just look in the mirror, and you're like, oh, shit, yeah, I'm Joey Diaz. Here we go, cocksucker.
Here we go.
Dude, we're going to make the most out of this.
That'd be a great movie.
But you're not in control. It's Joey's brain running the fucking show. You just got like being John Malkovich eyes. Like you're just coming out of him. Like,
it would really
where are we going right now?
A good premise for a movie if you had a guy who's like a fitness freak and his friend or his brother was Joey Diaz. And so the guy who's the fitness freak somehow or another through some fucking miracle of science says, listen, I'm trying to convince you that if you could be me for a day, if you could use my body for a day, you would understand how important it is to have physical fitness.
Yeah.
So through some weird science fucking ridiculous shit that no one would ever believe, they get to swap bodies. But Joey won't give the body back. Fuck you, cocksucker. You stupid asshole. I got your body now, bitch.
I'm staying in this fucking thing.
I got this personality and this body. God damn. You know, and then the poor guy is now, he's, you know, got the mind of a meathead. And he's got this fat body and no personality. And he can't get laid. And he discovers that his personality sucks more than Joey's body sucks.
That's it.
That's the movie, the
touching
man.
Part at the end.
Yeah. The end. He blows his brains out in the swimming pool. That's what he does.
Oh my.
Shotgun in the mouth in the swimming pool.
Yeah.
The end. Oh my fade God. To black.
Just the blood going out into the water.
Yeah.
Credits.
Fade to black, son. So I was saying that I keep getting these fucking invitations to these like festivals, these 2012
it's all over festivals.
These 2012, you know, like we know what's going to happen things, mm-hmm. where the seminars where people are going to speak on the great changes ahead. Like there's a lot of nutty motherfuckers out there that are like really truly predicting that the world is going to end in 2012. Like they really do believe.
And where do they get this? Where's their stuff coming from?
Well, there's a bunch of different schools. You know, there's the Mayan calendar school.
Yeah.
The Mayan calendar is that December 21st, 2012 is the end of the long count, so it's supposed to be some new age, and it's all open to interpretation.
Uh-huh.
Who knows what the fuck the Mayans were saying by the end of an age or a new age coming? Well, who knows whether or not it means anything to the people? It might be something that means something to the planet.
Yeah.
Who the fuck knows? So there's those people, and then there's people that have misinterpreted that, and they think that it's some sort of a doomsday calendar. And then there's the Terrence McKenna crowd who think that 2012 is going to be some crazy new technological innovation, like a fucking warp between this world and another, or something crazy, some inventions.
Uh-huh.
But everybody's banking on this being like happening like real soon, you know?
Oh God.
It's like such a common thing, and they have these meetings, and they sit down, and they speak about it, and everyone talks about, you know, sustainable farming and being prepared to start your own currency, and you know, and have a small group of people.
Do they want to meet with you in private to talk, or they want you to speak?
They want to go speak.
They want to fucking
yeah. There's some of these.
So then your thing would be like, look, I kind of don't know if you're. What it is, but I don't know if you're right either, so...
Yeah, that's the answer. So yeah. The answer is no one knows what the fuck is going on. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, just these Mayans couldn't even predict their own demise, okay? The Mayans disappeared 1,000 years ago. So what good are all those stupid calendars if they didn't even know that they would go extinct? Yeah. I mean, there's like scattered
it's
Mayans.
All going to be over in 2012. We're not going to be here.
Yeah, we're gone a long time before that, but, you know, you guys, look out for yourselves. Be careful. We don't want you to see you get hurt.
They really want you to go, though.
I get these invitations, these things, and they're hilarious. I would go and just start making fun of everybody. Anybody with yoga beads, fuck you. Fuck you and your yoga beads and your crystals. Are you wearing a crystal with a leather thing around your neck? Nice.
What does that mean?
It's actually hemp rope. I'm a vegan.
Oh, my God. It's hemp.
Dude, living in Colorado, that whole vegan thing seems so ridiculous when a mountain lion eats your dog. When I was living in Colorado, I moved to Colorado for three months. A mountain lion ate my dog.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I saw the mountain lion before it ate the dog.
Oh, my God.
We saw a bunch of shit. I saw a lot of deer. I saw turkeys. I saw, just, you see animals. One bear ate this guy's car. In the neighborhood, a bear got into this guy's car. And, you know, you think, well, if you leave food in your car, then the bear is going to eat the food. No, the bear eats the car. They don't know what seats are. They don't know if leather's edible. They don't know what a dashboard is made out
of. And they just eat everything.
He ate everything. He ate the car, just took chunks out of the dashboard. It was like someone just went in with a giant claw hammer and just started mangling the whole inside of the car. Everything,
wires,
steering wheel, just tore it apart, tore seats apart. They're so fucking strong. Anybody living in that sort of an environment and understanding the real nature between animals and men, like, you wouldn't eat those? You really want to keep these fucking crazy things around? You want bears to eat your car?
Yeah.
So they have to get one when that happens. They have to capture that bear or kill it.
They have to kill it.
Yeah, once they start coming around and eating garbage, they have two options, capture it or kill it. We went to a zoo there, and we saw these fucking big, crazy-ass grizzly bears. And those were bears that they had to capture. They just started eating people's garbage, you know, like Yellowstone or someplace like that. They start eating people's garbage, and then once they get used to it, they understand that there's always going to be a food source here. You can't get rid of them. And so you have this fucking 900,000-pound fucking wild animal that will eat you.
It will eat you.
Oh, yeah.
For
sure. They eat people all the time. It's just they have to either be in danger, or they think their children are in danger, so they'll attack you, or they've eaten a person before and they know how easy it is.
They know, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no fight.
I mean, it's not like, you know, people are so stupid about that whole animals eating people thing. Like, well, they don't eat people normally. They don't eat people. That's because we're not out there normally.
Yeah.
If we were out there, they'd be eating us. You know,
yeah,
wolves used to eat people, man. I mean, that's all real shit.
When they were around, yeah. Before we got guns and shit.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this on the podcast. This, a woman recently was killed, I believe it was in Alaska. A 19-year-old woman was killed by a fucking pack of wolves.
A 19-year-old woman?
No, a 19-year-old woman was killed in Canada from coyotes. Coyotes killed her. I'll just Google it so I don't give anybody disinformation. But it was a
fascinating
story.
She was out hiking or something like that?
Yeah, she was running. The woman who was killed by wolves, I believe she was jogging. Is my internet down, Brian?
I think mine is, too.
Fucking cunty Time Warner. You suck my dick, you dumb fucks. I think this is destined for iTunes, because, yeah, I ain't getting no.
All right.
Anyway, wolves are dangerous. Bears are dangerous.
Of course.
Eat animals. They're delicious.
I bring my son now to the zoo, because I haven't been to the zoo in forever. And we literally will stare. He'll stare, and I'll be staring at a fucking giraffe. And I go, what is that?
Crazy.
Horse body, just gigantic, like, gigantic neck, and then horse head on top. Like, just he'll look at me, and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that is. I don't know how to explain that fucking thing.
Have you ever done those ones, like, in the San Diego Zoo, where you get on that truck and they come up to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I went on that one. That's,
you did?
Fascinating.
Yeah.
They come right up to you, and they eat right out of your hand. It's an alien. I mean, it could easily be on Star Wars, if it didn't exist.
Of course.
The fuck, man. Do we give up on...
Your internet's just down.
Straight iTunes only.
Do you have any kind of boxes?
No, don't worry about that right now, Brian. Right, cool. We'll worry about it later. There's obviously some sort of an issue.
Cool.
We're going to have to clean it up.
Ustream.
This is
fucking great, though.
All animals, man, all of them are a trip. We're just used to them. If, you know, kangaroos didn't exist and all of a sudden a kangaroo was there, you'd be like, what the fuck is that
thing? Yeah.
Imagine if, like, a kangaroo didn't exist, you never saw one in the news, and then all of a sudden you saw one in your yard. Bouncing around, you'd be like, okay, did I do acid and I forget about it? Am I on, is this fucking, what is this? Alice in Wonderland?
Yeah. Is it real? They're fucking real.
Especially like crocodiles and shit. When I lived in Florida, I lived near a place called Lake Alice. We lived in Gainesville. My dad was going to school there. And this Lake Alice, you could feed crocodiles. Or not crocodiles, rather, alligators. Crocodiles are way more dangerous.
Than alligators.
Yeah, they're way more aggressive. And so these alligators would be out there, and people would be throwing marshmallows, and the alligators would come up and eat the marshmallows.
Just walk right up?
Yep. Just throw them. They're right there, dude. Right there. I mean, they were like right in front of
this dock.
So if they
just said one day, I'm sick of marshmallows, what does that taste like?
Yeah,
it's fucking game over.
It's
over.
Dude, it's crazy. Because there's all these signs saying not to feed them, not to pet them, not to get close to them. They are dangerous animals. But yet they're there. They're right there. And everyone seems to be okay with it. Florida, alligators are all over the place, man.
We did an episode of the league this year with a bull. A fucking a one-ton bull. And we were in an auditorium, all of us, and this all people. And then the wrangler comes in. He's like, I'm a professional bull trainer, or I'm a wrangler for the bull. And he goes, just if the bull comes at you, he's like, he's never been in a room like this before, which immediately I'm like, I'm fucking, what's going on here? He goes, if the bull starts walking at you, just hold your ground and just pretend. Like, so now there's like 100 background people. Fuck. And this bull walks in and he looked around for a minute and it didn't charge, but it was like, I'm walking, I'm going to take a fucking lap around this gym.
Oh my God.
And
they're trying,
and it just, there are dudes just stand. I ran like just fucking for the hills. I was like,
and it's got its balls, right?
Dude, it had its ball thing. I think they dressed it up. They put like the hook through its fucking nose. I mean, this thing was a ton. And it's just boom, knocking people like out of the way, and they're all trying to do the right thing for $35 for 14 hours. They're just trying to stand there and not piss anyone off. Like, this bull was like knocking people around. I was like, if there's any animal out there that's not trained, it's a fucking bull.
Yeah, you can't ever get them to settle down.
You cannot train a bull.
Yeah. What are you going to tell them? How do they even get them to just be still enough to walk around?
I don't know. Some crazy shit. And its handler was like 100 pounds. Just this little 100-pound fucking lady. It looks like a shit. Like, a she lady? Shit him out. Yeah.
A lady.
100-pound lady.
Oh, my. Wait, like, not that it makes any difference. Lady or a man. Either one. Toss whatever. Flying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter at that
toss
point.
A cheetah around.
Dude, they're so powerful. Maybe a lady would be better because he wouldn't feel threatened. He would just decide to listen if he likes your voice. You know? We did Fear Factor with bulls. That was the only time I was really nervous.
They're big.
They're huge. And we made these people ride them. We made like a 90-pound chick ride a bull. She got launched through the air, almost got kicked in the head.
Really?
It was the only time where I was like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, every other time, I would say, what is this stunt? Oh, well, they're going to take this car, and they're going to hit that ramp, and it's going to flip through the air, and it's going to land in these boxes. Is there any chance it can't land in the boxes? No. There's no way. It can only fly a couple of feet through the air, and we're going to have way more boxes than we need. Okay. And what happens when it goes in the boxes? Oh, the boxes just collapse, and mm-hmm. then it gets to the bottom. It's actually a really amazing system of distribution of energy with all these collapsible cardboard boxes. Totally safe.
Yeah.
Okay. So someone's flying a car off a building. Yep. It's a third story building, you know.
But
so,
physically, they figured out the physics of how it's going to happen.
That makes sense to me. So then I go, well, what's going on here? Oh, we're going to ride bulls. Well, these are fucking bulls, man. Wait a minute. What if they get hurt? No, don't worry. These are training bulls. They're not as aggressive. Do they know they're training bulls?
They know they're bulls.
You sit down with them. Now, you guys know that you're training bulls, right?
Yep.
They don't have a fucking clue that they're training bulls, dude. They're just not as strong as the strongest of the strong. That's the only difference.
Yep.
But they're still 2,000 pounds, whatever the fuck they are. I mean,
beasts.
They're incredibly strong, dude. When you see them moving inside that cage, slamming into the metal and shit, it's like, whoa. Like, this is the stupidest fucking thing I could ever think about doing right now, is put my body on top of this thing and hang on. This thing is trapped in this little metal box, and you're just going to all of a sudden give it freedom with a little monkey on its back. What the fuck? It's freaking out. Of course it's going to start jumping and kicking. It's paranoid. It doesn't know what you're doing. Anything with an animal, when it has another animal on its back, it thinks that animal's trying to kill it. Yeah, that's how animals kill you. When a tiger jumps on you, he jumps on your back and gets the back of your neck. So if you fucking got a thing on a bull's mouth and you're hanging on his neck, he thinks you're trying to kill him, man. Of course he's going to jump and kick. Stupid fucks.
I got high and went to see Jackass last week. I
haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet? Dude, I don't know how. I have no idea how Johnny Knoxville's still alive.
He's crazy. I really
have no fucking idea.
Those dudes are nuts for real. That's not a joke. You have to be like,
there's a different level of pain tolerance that this guy has that's just unfathomable.
I saw that bull thing where he got a blindfold in front of a bull. What the fuck is wrong with
him,
man?
Dude, he gets hit by a bull. Just one thing, but he flips on his neck and they slow motion it down where you like, it's unfathomable how this guy is still walking.
Yeah.
And he just gets up and he's like, and then just like fucking runs for a fence.
He's still got
the dexterity to like run and jump over a fence.
It seemed
like to me though, that was probably the last one though.
The movie? I think they wanted it to be, but I think because the movie made $50 million and when all said and done, it'll probably make between DVDs $200 million, and they go, you want to do one for $12 million? And it might not be the last one. Because he even says, he's like, how many of these can I do? Plus, he doesn't really do a lot of other stuff in between. So you can get like a bigger payday every couple years. It's like, why not? But I don't know how. Like, they're just testing fate at this point.
Yeah. I would rather do another movie with The Rock. play the Rock's deputy.
Deputy sidekick. Where we, fucking with a little accent.
You gotta get those guys, and the Rock's got a baseball bat. He prefers to use a bat.
He's got a little moonshine a bucket with three X's on it and shit.
I'm here to kick ass and take names. I don't really care about the names.
And I'm all out of names.
You probably wouldn't need to kick ass. Kick butt.
No,
kick butt and take names. I got no more room in my address book.
You gotta see the movie. I got high and saw it in 3D. I've only seen one movie in 3D before this one.
What was that?
Avatar. Yeah. I never saw a movie in 3D before that. Maybe I missed it.
Never
missed
saw Jaws? Boat. Jaws 3D?
Never saw Jaws 3D. So Avatar literally was like, changed my life. Like I was kept flipping the glasses back and forth to see what it was like. But then when I got high and saw Jackass, it was like, it was a midnight showing at the Palms. Like people were wasted. They there was chips flying in the air. It was kind of a cool environment to see it in.
Yeah.
And then high, and then just fucking, it was like a party. Everyone was like laughing.
That's
together.
Crazy to see a movie in Vegas.
I was, you know, I'd done the show, I was done with it, and I was like, you know what? Instead of going out and getting fucked up or doing something stupid, it's like, I want to see this movie. Let's smoke a joint. Let's go. And they saved us a couple seats. And
but that's you. You're working there. That makes sense. Yeah. Who are the other people going to see the movies?
People that
you're
live
in Vegas.
There. Yeah.
Oh, is it people that live there? Is
people
that what
that live there? Yeah. You know.
Oh,
like,
that
this,
makes sense.
You can't do this every fucking night, you know.
Could you imagine living in
not
Vegas?
A chance.
Fuck no,
not a chance.
Dude, it's like either living on the surface of the sun or in a colony of vampires.
Yeah.
It's like very similar.
Every
like,
time I leave Vegas, I feel depressed, dry. I feel hungover. It's a horrible
that's
feeling.
The land
when I
of
go to
shitty
Vegas.
Decisions.
Yeah. Audrina Patridge was on my flight home.
Who's that?
She's this chick from The Hills. She's ridiculously hot, and she's on Dancing with the Stars. She got kicked off or something this week. Anyway, she's so hot, and she was Southwest, and she just happened to have the seat, like she picked the seat next to me.
Shazam.
And she fell asleep, and I tried for 20 minutes to like look down in her shirt, but I couldn't
Couldn't get an angle?
Couldn't get the fucking angle. Her head kept moving. It was horrible.
Did her head ever land on you, and you cuddle with her?
No, but I was like...
Rubber forehead, let her know it's going
to
be okay.
I was like, I was trying to smell her.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was filthy, dude.
How hot is she? 10?
Yeah, she's a 10.
Really?
Why didn't you
record
her?
25?
How what?
How old?
23.
That's what
you want. That range.
Did you take any photos?
No.
Why not? That's what you have it for.
The fuck, bro?
You wasted.
I know.
Fuck, bro.
But then she was sleeping. I'm like, then there's physical evidence of me.
So
I mean, not that it's not now. Me confessing it on the fucking internet is not
right,
physical
same
evidence.
Evidence.
A really, really hot chick like that, like to everyone but you know, to gay men and to regular women, like you really have no idea what kind of power that chick has over a guy.
None.
A super hot chick like that could just run a guy. Just run him. There's no way he can't help himself.
Whatever they
Some
want.
Some regular dude, I've seen it happen many times, Brian. Have you ever seen it happen?
What?
Some super hot chick just running some dude's life?
Oh, totally. It usually happens to me.
Tell us how it happens. What happens?
Really?
Well, you realize that you're just focused on like really nice boobs, but then everything else around the boob is awful, and then you just don't care because it's like a bullseye, and you know you just want to look at their boobs all day.
So you're focused only on their body, not on their personality. That's what you're saying?
Well, yeah. I guess you just overlook a lot of things that usually, if they didn't have an awesome rockin' body, that you would probably like look into a little bit further, you know? But you're so happy with just...
You find yourself tolerating
visually.
Some
like,
nonsense.
If I had said those things to you, you'd been like, I'm not friends with this guy anymore.
Right.
Because I don't want to
right.
fuck
yeah,
him.
Right.
Dude, how many times have you been in a relationship with someone and someone would yell like mean, hurtful shit at you, and you'd go, listen... I don't have friends that talk to me like
right.
that.
Yeah.
You're obviously not my friend.
Yeah.
You know? Like, but some people, if you grow up in a family like that, that's what you think you're supposed to do.
That's
what you think you're supposed to do. If your parents always yelled at each other, you think that's how people react to each other. You want to be a grown-up. You want to be a grown-up too. Hey, you know, you got to fucking respect me. Like, whoa, where the hell is this coming from?
Did you fight with your sister a lot?
No.
Really. Me and my sister would always fight. And
me and my sister were
ridiculous
very friendly.
Fights, you know,
really?
Growing up. Not like
we got in a few arguments when we were really, really young, but by the time we were in high school, we never even argued about shit. Every now and then, like, she would like try to have a party over the house, and I would come home and go, get the fuck out. Everybody out. Like, my sister.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she would get a little crazy, try to bring a bunch of people over when my parents were away. You know, I'd come home, and I was delivering newspapers and fighting in Taekwondo tournaments, okay? So I had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and deliver newspapers. Then I would train and go and compete in tournaments. That's all I did. I was a loser. I had no life outside of fighting. No martial arts, deliver newspapers, go to school.
That was
That's it. That was it. All I did. So I would come home, there'd be all these idiots in my house, and I have to get up in 5 hours. So I would just go fucking crazy and kick everybody out. That was the only arguments we ever had. But other than that, my sister's cool.
Not to. I went to Brody's house one time when he lived with
Brody.
His sister.
Brody.
Lived with his sister. Stevens. We walked in and the sister, I guess, had let the cat. Didn't feed. Some of them had to get this goddamn cat food. And he goes, "This is not the way I deserve to be treated in a condo I live with my sister, paid for by my mother." And he just goes off on his fucking squatting. Sister. He's like, "She doesn't get me." And
is he really living with his sister?
He now was. He moved in with another person. But yeah, he was living with his sister in a condo that his mother paid for.
It drives me crazy when I find out that he's not a successful guy. It drives me crazy that he's not.
It's just going to take someone to do something around him big enough that they go, okay, here is a radio show. Here's your microphone.
Yeah.
Here are the people
that
are going
to
come in.
Let him do it for a while and get used to it and get relaxed.
And then just
build
launch
it. They will come.
Launch it.
Yeah.
Well, I just did a podcast last week for him that if you guys are interested in who we're talking about, it's pretty funny. Same thing. He was talking about his sister and he's calling her a squatter. She's a squatter.
Yeah. Getting him going
was it
is
fun?
One of my favorite
did you enjoy it? Should we have him on the podcast?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, okay. What he wants to do with his podcast, his idea is to take a bunch of the really young kids at the Comedy Store and throw them on the couch and like talk to these guys.
Oh, just that's
to
a good idea.
Get them some stage time.
We did that with Brian's friend Little Esther. You know Little Esther?
Oh yeah, yeah.
We brought her in and she did the podcast and she's going to come to Austin. She's going to do a little 10-minute sets.
That's great.
We're at the Cap City Comedy Club. Oh, we're there next week.
Next.
Me and Joey Diaz. It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So some tickets are still available.
How great is Austin?
Fucking love it there, man. It's one of the greatest cities ever.
I've only performed there once.
It's one of the greatest, coolest, smartest, funnest cities ever. They just got it down. I mean, it's not perfect. There's nothing perfect. There's no city that's perfect.
No.
But Austin's pretty goddamn close.
Yeah, they know what they're
doing. Not too big.
I want to live there one day.
Yeah, I like it.
People are cool.
Yeah, I like it a lot, man. It's a little too congested for me. The reason why I moved to Colorado is like I was going to go. If I was going to go outside LA, it had to be like really outside. Like I don't want this. I want the opposite of this. I want the opposite of too many people. I want, you know, I would like just like, you know, one of the things I loved about Colorado, I'd be driving down these dirt roads and shit, headed home. And when someone's coming the other way, they do this.
They wave.
Hey, what's up? Put their hand up, and I wave back. It's sincere.
That you can have enough connections or a limited amount of connections during the day that they mean something every time.
There's less people. You appreciate each other more. You know, like I would be walking my dog, and I'd be, you know, passing by some guy who was like getting his mail or something like that. They're so different than out here. Mm-hmm. If I'm walking down this street and I see somebody, like it's very rare anybody says hi. It's
or even makes eye contact.
Yeah. There, everybody was like, "How you doing? It's a nice day, huh? Blah, 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 blah." He's just friendly, cordial type shit.
Yeah.
You don't get that when there's too many people. It's just like having, you know, if you don't have money and then, you know, you have a little bit here and there, you appreciate that little money that you get. When you have ridiculous piles of money, you just start getting used to the fact that you've got money.
Yeah.
You don't appreciate it. If you lose a dollar, it doesn't mean anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're poor and you lose a dollar, it means a lot. When you have a small amount of people, you appreciate those people. You know, it's like we get too much. This like when you're in a city like LA, when you get on that 405, like I had to go to Anaheim the other day.
Oh.
It was fucking brutality, man. It's just insane. You're going 5 miles an hour, stop. 5 miles an hour, stop. And it's 4 or 5, maybe even 5.5 hours to get down there.
Jesus.
It's like you just look at all those people and you go, this is not
what
the
are
way.
We doing? Yeah. Let's spread out.
Yeah, this is craziness, man. This is not, no wonder why we don't appreciate each other. You know, but if you ever been in a car when it's snowing out, man? You ever been in a car when it's snowing out? When it's snowing and you're around a bunch of other people and snowing and you're driving, you're looking at each other, you're like, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, everyone's all.
Yeah. Everybody's all super friendly because everybody's freaking the fuck out because Mother Nature's kicking your dick right now. You know?
Yep.
The ground is covered with a thick layer and you're like, how thick is this shit going to get before I get home? Am I going to get stuck somewhere? Do I have enough gas to keep the car
you
on?
Never ride
warm?
The guy in front of his ass. You're like, I want to let this guy, whatever's going to happen, let it happen. I want to watch how this guy maneuvers shit.
Yep.
Stay in their tire tracks and shit.
Yeah.
I remember so being super retarded once. It was like ice storm, and I had like ice all over my windshield growing up. And I took like I was late for work, and so I took this big bucket of hot water thing to melt the ice, and I poured it on my windshield, and I just watched my windshield go.
It broke.
It cracked.
Oh
and then,
no!
And then it froze even worse.
Oh no!
Cracked your windshield.
Like, cracked your windshield.
I was like 16, going, oh fuck!
Glass isn't meant. Yeah.
That's hilarious. Dude, that should be a great scene in a movie.
Yeah, glass isn't meant to go from fucking like negative 32 to 100 degrees in a second.
There is something about living in a cold climate like that when you have to deal with those winters that makes a different type of person. I think people in Los Angeles, they have one of the reasons why a lot of people out here are more disconnected is because they don't have to worry about nature. You don't really worry about it here. All you have to do is it gets warm out, make sure you drink some water. That's about all you have to worry about. You don't have to worry about thunderstorms. You remember crazy lightning storms? You had to worry about getting killed by bolts of lightning out of the sky. You know, East Coast?
Yeah.
When I lived in Boston, okay, if a fucking thunderstorm came, you would see lightning bolts hit trees every now and then.
And you knew not to go by trees.
Yeah. Because
you were, like, trained. You're like, don't go over there.
I forget where the fuck it was. I don't remember this enough to tell it. But I remember something hit, some lightning bolt hit something near us, like, very close. And, like, we could go to the spot where it hit. You know, I'm like, fuck, man. That's death. If that's you, you're fucked. There's something humbling about that. Like, after a brutal, brutal hurricane, like, back in the East Coast, after it was over, people were always nice. Always nice. Everybody was just a little bit humbled. Nature just fucking fucking crazy hissy fit. I'll fucking kill you. I'll fucking kill everyone. Nature's throwing trees and shit.
It's like when you and your brothers and your sisters were fighting in the backseat and your dad would be like, I'll fucking kill you. Exactly. Like, that's Mother Nature going, hey, everyone just chill the fuck out.
I just
don't appreciate anything.
Yeah. I never got used to it either. Like, a lot of my friends, like, when a thunderstorm came, they were like, yeah, let's drink, you know, and that's how, like, a party and stuff. To me, I was always fucking just scared out of my mind every time a huge storm hit Ohio.
The thing that always used to get me, man, is when the really big ones would hit, it was like, this can keep going. I've never experienced it, but I know it happens where it goes like typhoon, and then it goes fucking class whatever hurricane, where it's like Katrina style.
Yeah.
Like, they keep going.
Yeah.
It doesn't always, this isn't the end of
the last
one. The power it can come with. These fucking things can get really powerful. So just because you're going to get through this hurricane okay, you're going to survive, you know, and power might be out for a couple of days. Like, there may be one someday that wipes out a whole city.
There will be.
That's very possible.
Absolutely.
I was coming home once in middle school. We went to Cedar Point, which is this big amusement park in Ohio, and there was this huge thunderstorm. We had to leave early. And I remember on the way home, we saw a tornado, like, just coming up the highway. And as kids, you're like, what the fuck? And I don't know if that has anything to do with why I'm scared, but our bus was actually going faster just to try to run away from this tornado, and it was raining like crazy.
Oh my God.
And I just remember being a kid going, and he's like, everyone put their heads or doing something with their hands.
You know
and
what
stuff.
To do.
Oh my God. Yeah, because it will pick that bus up and just fucking fling it like it's nothing.
Nothing.
That's happened so many times.
We hit
people flying out of windows.
Could you, if tornadoes were monsters from outer space, we would feel like we were being attacked. We'd be on red alert and shit. We'd be worried.
Trying to shoot the tornado with bullets.
Radiation, bullets cloud around. Seeding. You know, we have to make it rain around the tornado to lessen its capability.
The tornado's just moving. Like, damn, tornado moved.
We were in Miami, and some sort of a tropical storm hit. And it was we were driving to Eddie had a seminar down there, and there was a UFC, and so we were there like the day early for a seminar. And as we're driving down the highway, we had a stop in the middle of the highway. The whole highway did, because the rain was so thick and it was coming down so hard, you couldn't see anything. You literally couldn't see.
Really?
You couldn't see a thing. It was just all white. It was incredible. I've never seen that volume of water before.
Really?
Everyone on the highway stopped for 10, 15 minutes. For 10 or 15 minutes, it was like this. Well, you couldn't see a goddamn. We were sitting in the car going, holy shit!
And you don't know when that's going to end. You don't know when that. You're like, it could end in a minute. It could end in 30 minutes.
Well, they're pretty good at, you know, judging whether or not, you know, you have to, like, run for high ground and cover and go into a bunk. They're pretty good at, like, when the big ones, like, some big, giant, crazy one apparently just hit the Philippines. Yeah. And they were showing it on, like, they had, like, you know, photos of it on the news. They know how long, in general, they're going to last. But it doesn't matter while you're in it. While you're in even a small one, even a medium-sized one like this one was, it didn't even make the news. Nobody died. Still, it's like, what the fuck, man? You can't see. There's so much water, you can't see anything. It's a full whitewash. Just there's a wall of rain coming from the sky in front of you.
I remember one of the last storms I went through in Ohio right before I moved to California was this huge hailstorm. I recorded it somewhere on the internet.
Never been in one of those.
Oh, it started off like? It started off as just golf balls flying from the you know, what's upstairs? Sky? Yeah. Good play. Start off with just
from above where my eyes see.
Might want to cut back on the weeds.
Yeah, song. Right. So it was just, it starts off with golf balls. And I started recording because I just, everything in my back patio was just getting fucked up, like ripping like umbrellas, my umbrella. And you couldn't go outside to like save anything because these are golf balls that would hit you in the head. And then I went to the front and I had a Taurus show and was like a nice car that I inherited from my grandma. And I just watched my car slowly dissolve and dents, like the size of like...
Really?
Oh, it just fucked my car up. So, and it was just the most horrible thing to watch your car just get beat up by guys.
There's a crazy video online. I'm trying to see if I can find it where these people... Oh, here's one. Look at the size of these hail balls.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's one where these guys are in their house and they're looking out the window at their swimming pool. And at first, it's like splashing in the pool and they're like, holy shit, look at this hail. Oh my God. And then it gets so big that it doesn't even seem real. It gets so big that a lot of people on YouTube are like, fake. But it's not. It was bricks. There were bricks coming from the sky, hundreds of thousands of them, and just smashing everything. Knocked over this grill, sent the fucking lid flying. The water looked like rockets were shooting out of the water into space.
Yeah,
like
really?
That's how the water was coming up. It was insane. You would die.
You'd definitely get hit in the head with that.
After the hailstorm, though, it was crazy going outside because it was like July and it looked like it had snowed. Like, it would just look like snow everywhere.
Isn't that nuts that hailstorms can come in July like that? Yeah. Ice can come from the sky in July. How fucking fragile is our environment?
Yeah.
It's so fragile. I mean, if the difference between California and Ohio is just like a little turn of this crazy planet. Just a little slight turn this way or that way. And you go a little more, oh, you're fucked. You're in Alaska. You're in Antarctica. You're in some place where you're fucked and it's a fucking million degrees below zero. And if we just move just a little bit further from the sun, we're fucked.
San Diego,
everyone dies.
78 every day.
Yeah.
It's fucking dope.
It is.
Just nice waves.
How's that possible? How is it possible that like Hawaii is always perfect? Have you ever been to Hawaii?
Amazing.
Dude, Hawaii is the greatest place to go on vacation. You know it's always going to be awesome. I've never been to Hawaii when it wasn't awesome. It's always 78 and sunny.
Have you been to Guam?
No.
I went to Guam with Tripoli. We went to Guam, and they don't build anything nice because they just get a typhoon every single fucking year. So we called it ghetto Hawaii. We're like, because it's gorgeous most of the time, but then they get like 3 weeks of just go fuck yourself weather, and so that just knocks buildings down. So that's like they're a little bit different than Hawaii. Like Hawaii is so
different.
Nice, and Guam just gets the shit beat out of it once a year.
It's funny how that is, isn't it? It's funny how there's like spots where things always happen. On the Big Island in Hawaii, there's three totally different environments. There's like this one place where it's like really dry and like almost desert-like, and there's all these lava fields where everything's dead. Like it's like hot lava came down from the mountains. And then there's other parts that were like a tropical rainforest. There's other parts that it's like incredibly green and lush, like Hilo. It rains like all the time, like almost every day. It's so lush and green, like in the mountains on Mauna Loa. And then there's like where the Keck Observatory is, which is also up a mountain, which is totally different. It's fucking mountain, man. You're like 10,000, 11,000 feet above sea level. It's a legit mountain with snow and shit.
Uh-huh.
It's like, wow, all this on an island.
Same thing.
Yeah, it's one little tiny island, and it's got three completely different environments.
Hawaii's poor.
If you move there, you got to be prepared to live the way they live.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of white people move there, and all of a sudden they're like, why don't you guys mow your lawn?
And they're like, no, fuck you.
And they fucking go crazy on you, beat your ass with a coconut, you know?
Because like, of hundreds and hundreds of years, we didn't mow our lawn.
Bitch, this is their land. This is, you know, if you can buy a house on their land, you better be cool, man. They were there first. For real.
For real there.
Yeah, it's not like America, you know, where American Indians, like, they were there
first.
Oh,
no, we were here.
Like, you know, even American Indians weren't really here first, you know? There's fucking Chinese skeletons they found from 10,000 years ago. They know the Chinese now were the first settlers of America. Or not the first settlers, but the oldest human remains ever found in America is Chinese.
Chinese?
Yeah.
Well, it's alien.
There's a fucking history to this world that we have lost, for sure. If you follow, we've talked about this on the podcast before, but if you follow this guy named Graham Hancock, he's this archaeologist that specializes in ancient civilizations that are kind of unexplained, and his main theory is that there have been several great ages of humanity, but cataclysmic disasters have basically almost knocked people back to the Stone Age. Like, people in ancient Egypt got to incredibly high technological level many, many thousands of years before the established time of ancient Egypt. This is their thinking. And that something happened around 10,000 BC. Something happened, or around 10,000 years ago. Something happened, probably like an asteroid impact or something crazy. And that's also, it coincides with the end of the Ice Age.
So the Earth just resets itself?
Maybe. It's not the Earth resets itself. It's just that we almost get wiped out by, we know there's a lot of asteroids. There's like hundreds of thousands of near-Earth objects, and every now and then they collide with each other, and Earth's been hit many, many times. And some of them hit, and they fucking kill everybody, like the dinosaur one. But some of them hit, and they, you know, they just wipe out like a big chunk of people. Mm-hmm. Like, there's one landed in Nevada. It's a mile-wide crater. It's like the crater was a mile wide. And, you know, that's not even enough to, I mean, it's going to like do like some considerable damage, but it's not enough to wipe out the race, right? Well, just this one that's a mile-wide crater killed everything within 800 miles of it.
What?
Everything. Everything alive within 800 miles. Trees, animals, dead. Dead. Just a monstrous shockwave of energy. And this is just one that lasted, I mean, this one, I think they said it was 50,000 years ago, I think. That's when it hit.
Wow.
So there's been a bunch of these fucking things, and they've hit all over the world, and some bigger than others. And they could be that. It could be super volcanoes. They know that that's the case. They know that something happened around 10,000 years ago that killed all the woolly mammoths, all the saber-toothed tigers, and ended the Ice Age. And they think they might be together. They might be linked together. So all these guys, they look at all this, and there's John Anthony West, he's another one who specializes in it, and Graham Hancock. There's all these people that are looking at like all this incredible, these incredible structures that people left behind, and they're going, wait a minute, how long have we really been here? Like, do we really know?
Mm-hmm.
Do we really know? I mean, we're just guessing. No, we don't know. We're just guessing. We're guessing about all these civilizations. It's fucking fascinating shit, man. You know, and the fascinating, you know, these ruins that you find that they can't explain, like Easter Island. They don't know who the fuck built these. These big giant stone heads. They look crazy, and they're awesome. So complicated, man. I mean, you got these. I mean, how many fucking thousands of pounds are those rocks? You got to cut them like that, and then move them into place. And shouldn't you be out getting mangoes and shit? You know, yeah. Where do you have the time to be doing this, man? Why are you doing this?
Extracurricular activities.
Dude, there's these guys that lived in South America. I believe they're called the Toltecs. I mean, I don't want to say that if I'm wrong, but they don't even know anything about these people. They don't know what their language was. Yeah, it's Toltecs. They don't know what their language was. They don't know what
they
did. They lived in South America. They found these African-faced heads, giant carved African-faced heads, big African lips, very African-looking, and obviously advanced civilization with like headdresses and shit, and they found these fucking things just in the jungle, and they don't know where they came from. They don't know. There's all this other shit they left behind. They know nothing about them.
What do they do? What do those scientists do? Like, the smartest people in the world, they come back and they go, I don't know. I fucking found it. I found this.
It's very touchy.
Does anyone know what this fucking
means? It's
a
tricky subject, because once you find it, you have to like admit, like, okay, we're in a real perplexing situation, because we thought we had a roadmap of North America.
We
got
to go back to
We thought that, you know, the Asians came down from the Bering Strait, from like Russia and Siberia and Asia, and that's how human beings, you know, that's a Native American. When they do like the DNA test on Native Americans, they're most closely related to people from Asia.
Oh, really? Because they came down, all right, so Russia, down.
People walked, you know. It's frozen. And once the Ice Age ended, you know, Native Americans, those are the people that colonized this country. We don't even know. And that shit, you know, we don't even know, man. It's all fucking, we don't even know who came before. We don't know how long people have been on this earth. We really don't know. We have guesses. You know, we have guesses as far as like how long people have been advanced, how long we've had advanced cultures. We know like what we can find. We found shit that's 6,000 years old, and this is really old and it's advanced. We go, well, this is the first civilization.
Until we find a newer one.
Yeah.
Or an older one.
They don't know, dude.
Fuck.
They don't know. It's crazy. What's crazy is that, like, what Graham Hancock says is that we're a species with amnesia. And that really is what it's like. As you start getting older and you start really looking at the whole idea of history, the whole idea that there was all these people before us and they all lived and they accomplished all these incredible things and then they died, it seems so abstract. It's like, what, they were here and then they're gone? And then you read the history of how many people were here and gone. But as you get older, you start thinking about that history and you go, man, you don't really fucking know. Like, a lot of this you're guessing. You have to be guessing. You don't know what happened 15,000 years ago. You don't really have a clue.
I would never assume to try to say what happened 15,000 years
ago. They have to, though. They have to fill in the blanks.
Why?
Because they're scientists. Because they're archaeologists. They have to, you know. The problem is once they decide something, then it becomes tricky. Because they're having a real hard time accepting a lot of information about Egypt, like geological information. There's a guy named Dr. Ron Schock out of University of Massachusetts. No, Boston University, I believe. And he's a geologist, and he's decided to – like he looked at all the erosion that's in the Sphinx and in the Sphinx chamber, and he's said that this is all water, and this is all like thousands of years of rainfall. And what that means is that it had to have happened long, long before what the current idea of the Egyptians is. Because the current idea, we believe it's like 2,500 BC they built all that shit. But this guy's saying, no, it had to be like 7,000 years before that.
Because of all the water stains.
I know I talk about this too much on this podcast because I'm fucking fascinated by it. It's a crazy thing to me that we really don't know how long human beings have been around and that there's a very real possibility that there's been a bunch of us.
But what upsets me.
A bunch
me,
of different ages.
But
you know?
What freaks me out is that people are still, like you said, like trying to assume that they know.
Yeah.
Why would you ever try to, that's what bothers me when people go, oh no, but this is what we know. How does anyone, like, just don't try to fucking tell me that I'm stupid for being like, no, this is, no one really knows.
Yeah.
Why are you telling me you know?
They attribute things to certain people. I know what you're saying. They attribute things to certain people where they really should say, we think this could have been what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like while I was watching this thing on Chichen Itza, you know, or not Chichen Itza, I'm sorry, Machu Picchu in Peru, where they were talking, they really don't exactly know why all that shit was built, like way the fuck up there. But there's all these crazy theories that there might have been water that actually reached that high at one point in time.
Really?
Dude, it's nuts. If you go back and, you know, look at any of that guy's work, this guy Graham Hancock, he's got a book called Fingerprints of the Gods. Shit'll blow your mind, man.
Is there someone to take his place, though?
If he dies?
Hopefully, yeah.
Sure, there's a bunch of other guys. The problem is he's like the most respected. He's got rock-solid credentials. He's a real scholar, really brilliant man. He's very well-spoken. Like, and you hear he does interviews and he talks, and he's a really fascinating guy. He's one of my favorite people to read his books. He's just an open-minded, really intelligent thinker. And so he was like, you know, he has all these controversial theories. And then after all these controversial theories, these theories of, you know, ancient civilizations, all these different things that people are disputing, then he writes this book about psychedelic drugs. He writes this book called Supernatural, where he believes that man's entire life we've been influenced by psychedelics. He started taking ayahuasca and going to Peru. And
what's ayahuasca?
It's this crazy drug that you take in the Amazon jungle, and it gives you DMT experiences, like this long-term DMT experiences. And they have these people that go down there, and they, you know, they put on these shamanistic rituals, and they communicate with the afterlife. So now his latest work is that he's convinced that mankind has been helped throughout human history by psychedelic trips to other dimensions. So, as if his last shit wasn't controversial.
Yeah, yeah. No, what's more than this?
Yeah, what is he going to talk about next? UFOs, you know? That's the last.
That's it.
The last. Have you seen that thing about the Vatican? The Vatican had a fucking conference about UFOs.
The Vatican did?
Yeah. I gotta pull that up because it was really ridiculous.
What did they say?
They were talking about how extraterrestrials... they are our brothers from space, and that they may have been without original sin, so they may be pure. They might not have had to go through what we went through.
This is starting to sound like vampires.
But dude, it's hilarious.
It's a pure vampire.
It's hilarious, dude. It is sounding like that, right?
chose to be a vampire.
And this is in the New York Times, by the way. This isn't like some nutty shit.
That's crazy.
Yeah, hold on.
Steve, so you've been on the road touring for your show, The League, doing stand-up comedy also.
I have.
Have you guys been like doing clubs, theaters? What's going on?
We did the House of Blues in Chicago, which was beautiful. And then we did a couple clubs, and we did Cobbs in San Francisco, Arlington Brew House in D.C.
So who are you touring with? Who is it?
Nick Kroll, Paul Scheer, and John Lajoie and myself usually go out together. Those are the four guys on the show that do stand-up. And it's fun. We don't all just do stand-up. We'll do some audience stuff and fuck around with each other.
A lot of fans of the show?
Yeah, a lot of fans of the show. We've been selling out. We're doing the show at Largo on Tuesday. It's sold out, which is
nice.
Really, really cool. And yeah, people like the show. And it's just nice for us to be able to go, oh, these are the guys that like the show. Right. You know, like to get to see them.
Yeah, that's a rare, that's a such a different experience, right? When they're coming to see you.
Yeah.
As opposed to just going to a club and you got to kind of convince them to come out and see you do comedy.
And you're like, once no, you get I your promise own audience, I'm funny. And then they, but yeah, now when they come out and they seek you out, it's kind of a different.
Very different, right?
Don't but you cool, find it? Yeah.
Way
but,
cooler, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way cooler because it's, you know, they are, they all, I go, now I can show that I'm also funny. So they're, you know, they're not going to be like, oh, fuck, we just like the show. And, you know,
that's brutal. If you do go to see a guy and he's like, I really admire what Charlie Murphy did, because what Charlie Murphy did was he wasn't a stand up comedian. He was an actor. And then all of a sudden he did the Chappelle show and then he started doing stand up while he was famous.
Yeah.
So he was already famous and then he starts doing stand up, which is just fucking bonkers, man.
Yeah. You know,
that's
I mean,
a big chance.
Steve-O's doing stand-up now.
Is he really?
I actually saw it, and it was surprisingly good. It was he was, his stage presence was very interesting. It wasn't, he didn't stumble. He actually just pretty much told stories, and you can, and his personality on stage came across good. I mean, it was probably like the third time he's done stand-up.
Did he do any stunts or anything like that?
No. He just talked about what his life is like, and it was really cool. And I got to talk to him after the show, and I guess he's like completely sober now and everything like that.
You could see it in the movie that like this is the first time they're doing shit when they're like, oh my god, I know what this feels. I don't know what this feels like.
Yeah, but I was actually, every person that was there that night, this was at Tripoli's Naughty Show, by the way. Every time you go has a Naughty Show, you should go. It's something always interesting.
I'm doing it next week.
Oh, really? Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
When
awesome.
Is it? What day is it?
I think it's or the 11th, so it's a week and a half. I think it's at the Improv. Usually Melrose it's a Thursday Improv. Night. Yeah.
But yeah, he did it, and everyone else that was there actually said the same thing. That was actually pretty good.
Oh, that's good. You know who's figuring it out? Tom Green. I saw him in the beginning, and it was sort of like a little. I don't think he really knew how to like come across not being. Like, you know, he's a weird, awkward kind of guy, but like, and now I saw him like maybe 2 weeks ago, and I'm like, oh, he's gotten a lot better in a year.
You just
like,
gotta
that's
get used
translating
to doing
that, you know, that weirdness over.
Yeah, people don't really appreciate how much time is involved in it. Have you ever tried to get anybody to do it? Have you ever tried to talk a friend into it?
No. I don't think I would do that.
It's next Thursday, November 11th is the Naughty Show.
Yeah.
And it's at the Melrose Improv, and there's a bunch of hookers here, too. Powerful adult porn stars. He always has some really dirty girls there.
I did a show last night and somebody brought a 3-year-old baby to the club.
Oh, yeah. Really? God damn it. Tell the story, Brian.
Dude, all right. So I was in this comedy competition. It's called Uncle Clyde's Comedy Competition at Flappers in Burbank. And my material is pretty much dirty. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of bad stuff. I'm noob, so I have to go dirty to be funny. So we get in there, and this is where you bring your own friends, and your friends vote, and everyone votes and stuff like that. Well, people are bringing like 12 friends. I had zero friends, but so you're not going to win this comedy competition when you know other people bring friends. So
unless
I wasn't.
Your friends are all pissed because you suck, and they're mad that you brought them there to listen
so they'll
to your
just
nonsense.
Vote for somebody else,
right? Yeah. No one's going to really do that. But so I we come out, and all the comics were all lined up, looking, you know, looking at the audience and stuff, and suddenly you hear this baby's voice go, oh, "I like pickles," or something like that. And you're like, "What the fuck was that?" I thought it was just some guy making a funny voice till the first comic is on stage and he starts to cuss and then this baby screams out. And I was like, oh my God, there's a child in here. It was a 3-year-old child having full-on conversations with the comics at some point, going back and forth. And so all the other comics were kind of like, you could tell they're trying to change their material.
Why did the club allow this?
Who let them in?
I have no idea, but the owners were there and they knew the kid was in their audience.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They don't know what the fuck they're doing. I thought you told me that those people were comics.
They are comics. They've been doing it for a long time. Uncle Clyde's is actually pretty successful.
Unless it was Jesus's baby.
Right.
Get that baby out of
the
room.
I think what they were maybe thinking, like, oh, this baby's young enough that it's not going to understand
that's
anything.
That's ridiculous. You can't control. Listen, I have a 2.5-year-old. You can't control babies.
No.
When they want to yell shit out, they just yell shit out. That's part of being a baby.
Yeah. My kid took a shit on someone's. We went to a friend's house pool party and took a shit on their deck. And we just cleaned it up.
That's what happened.
And he's just. No one like said anything.
They're fucking babies, man.
Yeah.
When babies, they just douche. They don't know. They do crazy shit.
I did a gig in Atlanta one time where it was one of those gigs where it's a restaurant, then turns into a thing. So I go, I'm not going on stage unless like everyone's like 18 or old, you know, like, and they were like, this 11-year-old family just sat down. I'm like, well, why'd you sit in? I'm like, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And then I'm like, you know how this is going to lead to disaster. This is they're going to complain. You're going to have to comp their meal. They're like, no. And then that's exactly what happened. They were like, how could you talk like that? And then I'm like, you know,
it's not fair to either one of you. It's not
sucks
fair to
for
them.
Everyone. No, they don't want to eat a meal like
they
that.
They should have been told that this was going
to
happen.
The worst part was is when I got on stage, I made the decision not to do my set, not edit it, and not do anything like that. So I went out and I'm like, sorry. And I got, at the beginning of the thing, I'm like, sorry, child, cover your ears. And then I went right into a bit about molesting a child.
Oh.
But I, you know, I've been practicing for this night for the last couple of days. I could eat. I'm a
this
newbie.
Molesting child joke's not going to tell itself.
Right.
Baby is the best part. It was, you added baby to that.
It was funny because how many times I was in middles of bits, halfway through a bit, and then I was like, all right, you don't listen to this kid. You know, and like I had to keep on referencing the kid. And I was
like,
did you
get laughs or was it too fucked
up? It was good, but you could tell the audience was all like, dude, I can't believe you're talking about fucking pillows while there's this kid right here. You
right.
know?
Well, what are you supposed to do? You know, I mean, almost like you should have come up with a bit. Like, what the hell am I supposed to
do? Well,
I've been practicing for this for weeks.
Whose
kid is this?
I was originally just going to be ridiculously censored, like, oh, I'm going to take my pee-pee and make love to this, you know, and just try to change everything. But I've done that once before, and that's hard to do.
You can't change on the fly. No. When you edit on the fly.
You can't render on the fly.
That's one of the reasons why it's the grossest fucking thing ever when someone goes on right before you and purposely steps on your material.
Right.
Because they do it on when guys do it on purpose, what they're trying to get you to do is, like, edit on the fly. Like, Mencia was famous for that.
Yeah.
Like, the best one is the Johnny Sanchez one. Johnny Sanchez is doing a TV show. I forget what the show is. Loco Slam, some shit. Uh-huh. Something Loco, something with a Mexican name. And Mencia is hosting the fucking thing. Mencia brings him up. Before he brings him up, he does Johnny's closing bit.
No way.
Yeah. Fuck. Of course he does. He wants you to eat it. He wants you to have to adjust once you go up there. He's like playing mind games with every other Mexican comedian. He wants to be the Latino hit. You know, Johnny Sanchez used to crush with that bit about the Iranian guy who was mad at someone for parking in a spot. You remember that bit?
Yeah. I know.
Who's parking in my fucking parking? So, Mencia does the exact bit.
Really?
Parking in my fucking parking. He says the same thing. The whole deal just crushes the bit. Just eats the guts out of it and shits it out on stage and then has Johnny Sanchez go on.
I was on Man Cow last week and he brought it up. He brought the video, the Mencia U video. Because I was at the end of it, and, you know, we were talking about it, and he said, you know, he just brought it back. I haven't talked about it in so long, and I was
so stupid.
It's fucking weird. Yeah.
It's so stupid. That was the best thing that ever happened to me, to get out of that Comedy Store. You know, I got used to being in that place. I got used to thinking that that was where comedy was at, and then I was bringing that comedy and bringing it everywhere else. That no crowd control comedy, loud shitheads, hecklers, rudeness, you know, you don't realize that comedy doesn't have to be like that.
Yeah.
You know, that was a big move for me to get out of that room. Get out of that room and start doing the Melrose Improv, start doing all these other clubs. And
they're nice. They really
are. It's much better to me.
Yeah.
It was better to just to get outside of the negativity of that place. Some parts about that place were fun. The darkness of it, the fact that it had been the same for like 3, 4, 5 decades. But there was parts of that place where it was just like, this is just too much. This ain't good for you.
Yeah.
You're still there all the time.
I go there a lot. Yeah. When I'm in town, yeah, I do.
It's the best hang. No better hang.
No better hang.
That parking lot area?
But that's what I'm saying. It's now, it's like, there's a newer, like, when I go there, I know, like, less than 50% of the people.
Really?
Yeah. It feels weird that now I'm one of the, like, older
old guys. Yeah. You're Dom Herrera Jr. You were talking about Dom Herrera.
One of those fucking bigger fishes.
Dom Herrera was one of those guys when I first came here. I was like, holy shit, it's Dom Herrera.
Yeah.
Can't believe it, you know?
I know. I felt that way when I got there, too.
That place, man.
And then you see Dom Herrera all the time.
Now it's a, hey, Dom.
Hey, what's up, Dom?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Fritz Coleman do comedy?
Oh, no. I never do comedy.
No,
I have.
Yeah, he's actually, he used to be a regular at the Comedy Store. Yeah. He still stops in once in a while.
When someone died one time, a comedian died, he came to the Comedy Store with the ABC van or whatever channel he's on. And he was talking to me, not interviewing me, but it was something. Paulie was there, and then he goes, do you want to see something funny? And he brought me inside and showed me his headshot. And I was like, you're a fucking comedian? He's like, yeah. I see you comedy here all the time.
Wow.
Fucking Fritz Coleman. You, that's gonna you be saw a weird stand up?
Yeah, I saw him. I saw
what
him
was it like? Do you remember?
It's like, you know, real nice guy. Mm-hmm. Hi, hey, where are you? Hi, whoa, ha. All righty then.
Yeah.
You know, just nice guy. Hmm. He's better off doing what he's doing, you know?
It's a win for everyone.
Yeah, the guys that quit, they should quit. You know, they want to quit.
Yeah.
Some guys just get into it because they want to get into it, and then, you know, they're into it, and then they're like, okay, well, I guess I'm doing comedy now, and something else comes along, and they'll just stop. They'll just stop doing comedy.
It weeds itself out.
And then there's some guys like Tim Allen that were good. Tim Allen was a good comic, man. He was funny back in the day.
When he was talking about prison stuff and things like that?
You know, even all that fucking Tool shit. All that, man, he does all that stuff about fucking tools and shit.
Oh, yeah.
It was funny stuff,
yeah,
man. It was good stuff.
Yep.
You know, but he got that TV show, man, and just stopped. Just stopped doing stand-up totally.
He's still doing it now, though.
He took a long-ass time off, bro. He took a long-ass time off because I was at the Comedy Store, one of his return flights. When he start, that's a weird thing when you haven't seen a guy on stage in like 10 years and they haven't done comedy in like 10 years and then all of a sudden they start to do it again and they're famous as fuck.
That sucks.
But they're like a rookie. Like he was like a rookie again.
I know.
You lose that timing. You lose that feel for being on stage. You lose that confidence.
It's a whole different muscle.
It's totally different, man. To this day, if I take more than 2 weeks off, I feel weird. I have to go on stage. Otherwise, I don't feel like I could do a show. You know, I'm not familiar with my material enough.
I think the longest I took off one time was a month.
Really?
And it sucked. Like the first four sets after were just horrific.
Terrible. It takes me
It's like I TiVo'd my own set. I was like minutes behind myself.
Yeah,
like
even timing's just off.
Time. Yeah,
forget people were laughing. Lines.
They would stop laughing. They would start. And it was awful.
Comedy. Do you record yourself?
I do once in a while when I'm like, okay, I know tonight I'm going to do 15 minutes of decently new stuff that I want to try to remember.
Yeah.
I'll record myself.
I record myself all the time for two reasons. One, because you never know when you're going to say something interesting and you're trying to get some new bit out of it. And two, because when I haven't done comedy for a while, I just listen to recordings and it all comes back to me.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, for the timing.
Because then I listen with headphones on and I'll listen and I'll start writing things down. And as I'm writing them down, you know, I just sort of remember each bit, you know, because sometimes like there's a whole chunk that I forget. You know, there's, you know, when you're doing an hour and 20 minutes of material, it's like, you know, well, do you still do that thing about the fire in San Francisco? Oh, I fucking forgot. And, you know, and sometimes I'll do like an hour and a half and I'll leave out like a critical bit. And then I'll get off stage and I'll go, I fucking forgot to do that bit.
See, I'm still at the point where I will headline. I usually go out twice a month. But there are times where I go a month or two without when I'm shooting something. And then I'll be doing sets at the Comedy Store in between. And then I go back out and I'm like, shit, what was there? There's a lot more to this. And then, because you know, when you have that hour and then you start going 15 minute spots again, you just start editing stuff out and then you forget to put the shit back in when you go back out. You're like, oh, there was a whole nother fucking 3 minutes to that joke that I completely forgot about.
Yeah, and that's another thing that sucks about fucking heckles is when someone starts heckling you, you lose
your train of thought.
Yeah, you lose 90% of what the fuck you're saying.
And then you start over at a different level that you were at.
Yeah.
Like a wavelength, different wavelength.
Totally different wavelength. What you were telling us before we even started this podcast about last night at the Comedy Store.
Oh, my God.
There's another example we were talking about how that place, like, if you go to the Melrose Improv and someone's yelling out, there's going to be a guy come over and he's going to put his hand on your shoulder and he's going to say, hey, man, cut the shit. We're gonna kick you out of here. You can't be yelling shit out. And if you do, I saw Andy Dick get kicked out of the Melrose Improv.
Really?
Yeah,
that's amazing.
One of your shows.
And he was heckling you.
It
wasn't heckling me. He was heckling somebody else before I ever got there.
That's funny.
Before I ever got on stage, he got kicked out. This was back when he was boozing it up, though.
That's funny. Yeah, last night it was just. I got told that there was the whole audience was different tables from different countries, and I was fine with that. I got on. Fucking lady, just these four ladies from New Zealand just wouldn't shut up. I kept asking to be quiet. Then one of them threw, I told them shut the fuck up. Then one of them threw something at me. And then I just went crazy. They threw like a napkin, but I didn't know what it was. If you don't say something to the napkin, a glass is coming next. That's my fucking mindset. So then I called them fat pigs and it was just hard. But it took them like 20 minutes to get kicked out of the fucking club.
Wow.
You know, and I love everyone that works there. It's just like there's a negotiation first. Yeah. If, like, there were guys like Harris, we were talking about miserable.
Yeah.
Harris would have hogtied this chick in the beginning, like, first word out of her mouth and thrown her down the stairs by her face.
Yeah.
But now there's like a negotiation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, get the fuck out of here.
Where is Harris? Have you talked to him?
I think he's in Montana.
Didn't he have a bad motorcycle accident?
He did. He had a really bad motorcycle accident.
Dude, I used to talk to that guy about motorcycles. He would make it attractive. He would talk about motorcycles, how great it is. I'm going to ride across the country. I go up here with this guy and we drive down together and we ride. I'm like, oh.
Me and Steve Simone went to visit him in the hospital after that, and I swear to God, there was a hooker in his room.
Nice.
Can we walk in? And she was like dressed up business style. They were both sitting on the bed. Well, obviously he's on the bed, but she's sitting on the bed right there. And as soon as me and Steve knocked on the door, we pop in and he's like, she straightened herself up And he's like, oh, this is so-and-so from the healthcare unit. I'm like, no fucking healthcare lady sits laying on the bed with you.
On the bed?
Like yeah, but like together on the bed. Like,
really?
If you're taking your report, like you stand next to the fucking bed.
Why didn't he lock the door?
I don't know. Maybe you can't. Maybe the people so have to come in and out.
Wild chance. Maybe he just wants to see if he can get caught.
I would have loved it.
Maybe he's want.
I would have.
What
would
happen
sat there,
if
would have sat there and
dick sucked? Would you have said
I
would have
sat there and fucking just been like, go for it.
Would you back up or would you watch?
Watch.
Because then you kill his boner, bro.
Dude.
Unless he's a real freak.
I won't make eye contact with him.
I'll stare right at his boner.
Myself around the corner of the fucking curtain. Trust me. Everyone's going to get off.
What was his injuries?
Dude, he's great. I think he broke something on one of the side, either an arm or a leg, but then it was just scrapes.
Did he get hit or what happened?
I think it was raining. He was going a little too fast on the highway. Yeah, he wiped. He didn't get hit.
Did you see Richie? Have you seen Richie?
I saw Richie. Richie got hit bad.
Yeah, our friend Richie, who used to be one of the managers of the Comedy Store, got T-barred. A girl ran a light, went right in front of him. He slammed into the car. He didn't have time to stop. He was going 35 miles an hour and just smashed a bunch of shit in his leg and his arm and his hand, his wrist.
Got plates in his leg, yeah.
He was all screwed together and skin graft and... He's another one, man. He used to make it sound attractive. Oh, you pay attention, you're going to be fine, you know. We talk about bikes because there was one point in time where I took motorcycle safety classes and I was really thinking about getting a bike. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I ran into Alonzo Bowden the other day, too. Broken hand from a motorcycle.
Really?
Yeah, I can't get it to heal. They're going to have to put pins in it because it broke in so many different places. They were trying to get it to heal, but it won't heal.
Months. Yeah, what's best case scenario? Like you just
Best case scenario is you fall down and you don't get hurt too bad.
Yeah.
That's best case. You're going to fall. Yeah. I knew three dudes that had things happen to them. My friend Edison, he crashed his bike, fucked up his shoulder. Another dude, Frank Mir, the UFC guy, got hit by a car.
On a motorcycle?
On a motorcycle, shattered his femur. Ugh. He was fucked for a whole year. He was, you know, he was the champ at the time, I believe. I think he was. So he shattered his femur. He was fucked for over a year. Over a year, he was never the same guy again. And then a friend of mine saw a dude get hit by a car, too. When he was on a motorcycle. Ugh. Saw a guy get hit. It was someone not paying attention at a red light. Fucking guy was parked on his bike. And this dude just plows into him. Sends the guy flying over the handlebars.
That's the worst. I couldn't do it.
Too scary. But especially damn, in Colorado, it looks so fucking attractive.
In Colorado, in New York, Ohio. When I'm like, will you just park? Fucking, you have a little
New
Vespa
York
thing.
Crazy,
I know it's crazy,
dude.
But
fuck that.
I see it. I'm like, I can do that.
No way.
Just zipping around.
Louis C.K. got hit by a car in New York when he was on a bike.
Did he really?
Yeah, he got nailed.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah, he got knocked unconscious, I think. I think he got hurt, but he was okay. Like it's one of those things where he got jacked, he went to the hospital, and then after they got him out of the hospital, he was okay.
I remember when
he was riding that thing, man. Motorcycles to me have always been like so attractive. I see them like, oh, look at that.
I love fucking jet skis.
I wish I had the balls.
When I'm on a jet ski?
I've never been on one. I've always
Dude, it's addicting. If you like it, awesome. You're just like, it's just freedom out on the, you're like in the middle of the water. And you're like, I want to fucking be right there.
But
you're
don't
over
you
there.
Feel like, when I did
you don't
it in
have to
Hawaii,
ask anyone.
Don't you feel like sharks are going to come get you? Like you have to
fast. I did it in like Lake Havasu and like just horrible. Yeah, I've never done it like
in
the ocean.
Dude, I did it in Hawaii and I did it stoned as fuck, right?
And you just wait and then you're just an appetizer.
Jumps, and I have never ridden one of those things before and I was going full clip, right, constantly. And I wiped out. And when I wiped out, man, I was in the water and then it just hit me like, I am way out here. I'm way, 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 way out here. I mean, there's no way I'm swimming to shore. I got to swim over to this fucking bike and get back on it because otherwise I'm dead.
You're going to get eaten.
And I'm thinking, there might be something coming at me right now. And I'm swimming really fast.
Joe, when you go in the water, do you wear beach shoes?
Beach shoes? What are those?
Like the little sandals that you put on
so
you
don't
step on
things.
Stuff.
No, I've never seen those before.
Oh.
People wear those in the water?
They look like rubber socks.
Yeah.
Oh, I have seen those. No, I never knew what they were, though. I always assumed those had something to do with skiing or surfing or something. They don't?
Yeah.
I
think so you want to step on jellyfish and shit like
Dude,
that.
Dude, I've never been surfing, but I did go boogie boarding in Hawaii, and I understand. I mean, I don't understand surfing. I'm not saying that it's the same, but I understand like the thrill of riding a wave.
Yeah.
It's fun as fuck, man. I can only imagine how dope it must be to actually get on a wave and ride that bitch in. But that said, a dude in Santa Barbara just last week got killed by a shark.
Santa Barbara?
Yeah, just last week. Ugh. And it's rare for sharks to be in that water because it's like they don't know if it's a really big one, if it's a great white, it's really rare because they're not supposed to be in that water. They're supposed to be in colder water, like San Francisco. San Francisco, it's like a real problem.
Yeah.
Like there was a video in Cape Cod this year. There's a bunch of them that are breeding in Cape Cod. They have all this video footage from the sky, from helicopters, seeing these giant fucking great whites breeding. Fuck all that getting in the water shit. I don't care how cool surfing is.
I like wave pool.
Dude, Shark Week is the closest I do to that.
Yeah.
I got really hot this year and watched the fucking... Did you see the flying sharks now they have?
Yeah.
The ones that come out of the water, the 12 fucking feet in the air. And they time the sea walruses, whatever. Did they time them this way? And they come straight up. And
smash them.
And just smash them right out of the water. And they're up 12 feet in the fucking air. Flapping.
And then
back in,
jack them and smash them.
Crazy!
What an amazing creature that nature has created. This giant thing that can't even stop. It has to stay swimming or it'll drown. And all it wants to do is eat. And it's retarded. It has like no brain at all. It just wants to eat. Like killer whales, fuck great whites up all the time. Like really? It's not even a competition. Like great white sharks will like be around killer whales, and killer whales will just attack them and
They'll
murder
just
them.
Find one and just pick
attack
them off.
And murder them, rip them in half.
Ugh.
First of all, killer whales are big. They're really big, and they're super smart. They're like dolphin smart. So they just fuck them up. There's an awesome video online of a killer whale killing a great white shark and showing it off to these people after he kills it. They don't fuck around, dude.
He was showing it off?
Yeah, they show it off to people. They like people. They think people are cool. They save people all the time. When people fall in the water, killer whales will save people.
Really?
Yeah, have many, many instances of it. They'll take people that fell off their boats and carry them, push them back to their boat.
That's great.
How weird is that? They don't even want to eat us. They eat dolphins.
Yeah.
Killer whales fuck up dolphins because dolphins are their competition, even though they're the same species. Basically, they're cousins of dolphins, but they'll save people. What a trip, huh?
Crazy.
If dolphins didn't exist, if like killer whales didn't exist... Could you what a fuck Bigfoot? What a fantastic animal a killer whale would be if it didn't exist. Imagine if someone told you there's an animal and it lives in the ocean, but it's not really a fish. It breathes air, but it lives in the water and it comes up every now and then for air. And they're super smart, like a dog. Like you can train them and they'll do stuff for you. And they're loyal and they'll save you. And they're giant and they have huge fucking teeth and they kill sharks. And they have a language, and you hear them talking to each other. They'd be like, shut the fuck up and pass the reefer. You're making up some nonsense, you know? Like, in contrast, like, how boring is Bigfoot? What the fuck does Bigfoot do? Yeah, it's just another monkey. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't kill people. They don't find huts that Bigfoot built. They're like, whoa, he's smart.
He hasn't dated Britney Spears or anything like that. He needs to fucking cause some controversy, Bigfoot.
Okay. Bigfoot is people like will find so him. Out of the loop.
People will find Bigfoot.
I still, though, if I found him, if there was a special that was on television and they found Bigfoot, I'd be fucking riveted into my chair, riveted to this action.
Yeah, watching if it was like CNN right now, like they found Bigfoot, we'd be like, shut it down. Everyone fucking go to the computer and watch.
Could you fucking imagine that?
They should make a Bigfoot movie where Bigfoot's actually a chick, but she's really nice and hot, like, you know, just a little bit hairy, and the guy like starts dating Bigfoot. Yeah. Yeah,
you should be a movie producer. I want to give you all my money.
That's
I think you've got some brilliant ideas, Brian. You might have a real talent for this.
It'd be like Megan Fox, but her whole body had like a 6 o'clock shadow. You know what I mean? Like she has like that little hair tint, and you have to constantly shave her.
Dude, werewolf on a plane. That's what I got out of this podcast. Yeah. Don't steal that, you fucks. Is anybody out there, you bastards?
Werewolf on a plane, it just lands.
What's today, the 28th or 27th?
28th.
It's 28th.
It's like Trick or Treat.
This shit is documented, son. Trick or Treat is this weekend, man.
Yeah, well, some places actually have it Thursdays because they don't like to have it on weekends because they don't want kids. They want kids to have to wake up the next morning and go to school so they don't go crazy the whole night, you know?
Oh, really?
So a lot of places have it actually on Thursday.
Whatever happened to kids just finding out what it's like to not get much sleep? How about that? Mm-hmm. How about, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are we protecting them? Oh, well, we want to make sure you get a solid 8 hours there, fella.
Why? I don't.
Yeah. What the fuck? You got to let them know. Like, oh, it sucks when you don't get 8 hours sleep. You go to school and you're stupid. You should know that. That's an important lesson. It's better to learn that shit when you're doing math in the ninth grade than it is to learn it when you have a fucking job and you're 27 and you fuck up and lose your job because your performance sucks because you're not getting any sleep.
Yeah.
God damn it. That's my message. I've got a message. My message is stop nerfing the world. Let those fucking kids get nutty. Let them do whatever the fuck they want to do. The Who said it right. The kids are all right. Wasn't that the Who said that?
I don't know. I've never heard
Who said that? The kids are on.
Yeah, that's.
Is that the Who?
Is that the Who?
Fucking weak ass bitch. What do you got for me, Brian? How you gonna close this bitch out? You got something good?
Yeah. By the way, what was the name or what was?
Oh, D Antwoord. No, D Antwoord used to be another band, and that was the song that we were playing last week that everybody kept asking
2 days ago
on the podcast. You Talk Too Loud, Max Normal.
Yeah, you can find it on YouTube. It's not a video, but it's just a song with
Let's play it on the way out, Brian. Fuck it. Play it on the way out. Max Normal.
Your internet's too jacked to go on YouTube right now. But here's a...
This internet is so sad.
Yeah.
Here's it's the cable. Cable goes out in and out all day. I've been finding that lately. People have been asking, why is your Ustream podcast cut out? That's why I keep cutting out. Yeah. It actually seems to be up right now, though, Brian. What do you got here?
This is LCD sound system.
Better not be as gay as that shit you were playing yesterday. Hey, thanks to the podcast, or thanks rather to the Fleshlight for sponsoring the podcast. Thanks to my pal Steve Renazzisi.
Thank you
old
very much
school
for having
comedy
me.
Dog, Appreciate road dog. My man, we've been in the trenches together.
That's right.
Back in the day, bitches. Next week, I am at Cap City Comedy Club with Joey Coco Diaz, a rare, rare event. I smuggled Coco to Texas. No warrants in Texas, so he's going to be good. I can't take him to Canada, where I may be filming my next Comedy Central special in April. I'm not saying.
You're also bringing Lil Esther to the Austin shows.
I'm bringing Brian's little pal, Lil Esther. They're going to sleep together in one room with two beds.
Nice.
One leg on the floor at all times. If you've never been to Cap City Comedy Club, it's one of the best fucking comedy clubs in the country.
It is.
Austin's one of the best cities in the country. I can't wait. Steve Renazzisi, where are you at this week?
Next week, I'm at Governor's.
Governor's in Long Island.
That's right.
Levittown.
Yes.
Fuck right. Yeah, son. Old school.
Going home.
That's a real place.
Yeah.
That's a real goddamn club. Governor's is awesome. What nights are you there?
November 5th and 6th.
Which is Friday and Saturday?
Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday, two shows?
Two shows, 7:30 and 10.
Go see Steve Renazzisi. He's a hilarious stand-up comedian as well as a good guy. And he's also on that show, The League, which is on FX. What nights?
Thursday nights. Tonight.
Tonight.
Halloween special tonight.
I'm watching Halloween. It. I'm watching it. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Next week, supposedly, we're going to have Bobby Lee on the show. And
it's going to be a weekly gag like Matt Damon.
He's trying. Show up. Look, I appreciate Bobby. He's a flake just like me. All right. That's it. We'll see you guys next week. And see you in Austin. And as always, love you, bitches.
See ya.
I've been told the truth, but you don't want it. No! Stop.